much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It's Monday.
I had a perfect cup of coffee and a Danish on the way. You want to start with good morning? How was your weekend?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
When I first came today, I had to go to the bathroom, and you lent me your keys.
I did.
And I saw that you drive a Porsche.
I did.
Don't they say people that drive nice cars maybe have small penises?
Who says that?
I think that's a known fact.
Well, I can assure you that's not a known fact.
How can you assure me?
Have you seen a lot of penises?
Some.
Some? Since you're a penis expert, I'm assuming?
I'm not a penis expert.
You just said about? That you're a penis expert.
No, I said I've seen a few penises.
I think I haven't seen enough penises like you have.
I don't understand seeing the amount of penises, how that would have to do having a small penis.
Well, I just...
I know.
Just looking at last week's numbers, Jesus.
What happened to it's not about the numbers?
That was before I saw the numbers.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is, according to the clock here, 4:33.
Yes.
That sounds about right.
As it's also Monday, the 10th of March.
Of March.
March.
How was everybody's weekend?
Good. You?
Fine.
Short. Short by an hour. Way to go, beer mug.
Yeah, I don't think
so. Sure it's his fault.
I don't think
I'm
that.
Just saying. No, I'm pretty sure it's his fault.
I know we have a very busy show, a lot to get to. Lisa, I'm sure you were with me on following with great interest the news about the Malaysian jetliner that went missing.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Every couple of hours, I would go, well, they have to have found it by now. Are you following the story, Kevin? You know what's going on?
Vanished. I know it vanished. I don't know any other details, just that it...
No one knows any other details. That's what makes this so remarkable. So Friday, this plane takes off for folks who check out of the news on the weekend. So Friday, this plane takes off from Kuala Lumpur, and it's going to Beijing. And about an hour into its flight, it just vanishes. No distress call. No warning that anything was amiss. No, you know, even if they were going down, usually, if a plane's going down, usually you let the tower know, you ask for some, no, you let the tower know, ask for some, you know, let them know what's going on, but nothing, not a word out of them. They just vanished. Now they've been doing nothing. The whole world is involved. They've got dozens and dozens of planes and boats and people out there on the water just looking for any kind of sign of this plane. There has to be something somewhere in the ocean, right?
Some debris.
What is the how do they find a plane if it just went down because of some kind of malfunction or a bomb or whatever? How do they find it?
Well, usually they find it because they find debris.
Oh,
they were very excited on Saturday morning. I think they found an oil slick, a 13-mile oil slick, and sometimes that's an indication of the oil rising to the water. But they did a test on that, and this morning revealed that it was not jet fuel. It's unrelated. There have been a couple of times where they thought they saw debris. One time it turned out to be just some sort of trash that was in the ocean. One time somebody said they thought they saw a door, but they sent a plane, they sent a ship in the neighborhood to go look for it, and they couldn't find it. So that's been missing. One of the things that they expect to find is the radio beacon that's in the black box. That's one of the things they build into the black box. So in the event that a plane goes down somewhere, other planes can pick it up on their radar when they're flying over it. Nothing.
Even in the ocean?
Even in the ocean, nothing.
Yeah, and then the question of, like, who was on board the plane is really fascinating because they found that two people on board were actually using stolen passports that had been stolen in Thailand in the last 2 years.
Okay. 2012, right.
2012 and 2013 was the other one. And so they don't even actually know who was on the plane. Apparently, they're just willy-nilly with the security there.
That's bizarre.
Malaysian Airlines. And passengers, I heard, or family members, threw water bottles at Malaysian airline officials.
Oh, good times.
In one of the meetings that they just had, because they're not getting any information, which in a way makes sense because they don't have anything. But, I mean, can you imagine? They've been waiting 3 days now to find out anything.
Look, they know their person is dead on the plane. It's just a question of, you've got to tell me that so it's official and I can begin the grieving, right? I think is what's happening here. I mean, clearly no one survives this. But this passport thing is weird that Lisa's talking about, because apparently there is a database, an Interpol database of stolen passports, but nobody uses it. They only ever go to it in situations like this after a crash. In other words, nobody stops you from getting on a plane with a stolen passport.
That's weird.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah, yes. That is odd.
So they're trying to figure out who these two people were that used these stolen passports. They think that they bought their planes, their plane tickets for this flight at about the same time. But both of them had connecting flights after this one, which seems unlikely. They're one-way tickets that they bought to Beijing. But if you were going to blow up the plane, why would you then buy another plane ticket to leave Beijing and go someplace else?
True. That's true.
So it's very mysterious. The whole thing is very mysterious.
And nobody's coming forward and taking credit for
That's another great terrorism. Point, Kevin. You would think that if it were a terrorist act, that by now somebody would say, yeah, we did that and here's why. And so far that hasn't happened either.
Huh.
But it's just, it's such a mystery. I mean, it just seems like something right out of Lost or a TV show, you know, where a plane goes up and an hour later it's just gone and is never heard from again. Now, I think
until they all assemble in the church.
Don't you feel like eventually something has to float to the top?
Something? Yeah, they've got to find some debris.
I imagine that isn't it possible that something would float to the top and no one would ever find it, though?
Yeah.
Pretty big ocean.
Yeah, it is a pretty big ocean. That's true. And I don't know enough about how these things work to know if the plane had exploded at 35,000 feet, if it would have – is that just a giant fireball and almost everything on the plane gets reduced so small that it's even harder to find? There aren't going to be any big pieces left, you know?
But the black box thing is still really curious.
It is. It is. So anyway, well, we're keeping an eye on this. Like I said, there's a huge search operation out there. 34 planes in the air, 40 ships. They're covering a 50 nautical mile region around where they think this plane is, but so far nothing. Just a crazy, crazy story, kids.
That is weird. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bijo, shall we?
My body is very attracted to your body, but when you speak, my brain gets angry.
Bean versus daylight savings time.
Saving. You mean saving.
On today's Kevin and Bean show.
What are you talking about? What are we doing?
Well, what do you mean, what are we talking about? What are we doing?
What do you mean, Bean versus daylight saving time?
I'm just saying we're going to take a look at it. That's all. We're going to take a look at it. Don't worry about it. Don't you worry about it. You've done your part. Now it's our turn. Bean versus daylight saving.
Saving.
That's what I said, and you corrected me. Who's wrong now? Bob Saget in the studio today.
Cool.
We're going to have some cam girls in. All right.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what
about.
We're talking about.
That's a Monday
that's
show.
The way
right
to
there.
Do it right there. LaQuisha is here talking about the rich kids of Beverly Hills. I don't know if you saw the Lindsay Lohan show last night.
No, I taped it. I
watched that and brought in some highlights.
You don't sound enthused by that.
It wasn't interesting?
No, I'll tell you when we recap it. Okay. But no, I mean, basically, they cover the first 36 days in the first hour.
Oh, wow.
Like, there's so little going on.
Because that's what recovery looks like?
Literally 36 days in the first hour last night.
Now, this is her out of rehab,
yes.
Right? Okay.
She gets out of rehab. She meets with the Oprah, who lays down the law. And then she starts trying to live. And Oprah's cameras follow her. And it's not interesting, really, in any way. What's up with Florida on today's show? Harvey Levin from TMZ on today's show. But the thing that everybody's tuning in for, I imagine, or at least we hope you will be that excited about, is Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014.
Yes.
Details at 7:15.
Very cool.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
You got some Jay-Z in my Linkin Park there, by the way. What the hell is going on? How'd that happen? Hey, April Foolishness, it's almost here. We got details for you on how you can buy tickets, who's playing, when, everything you need to know at 7:20 this morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Daylight savings time is BS, right?
Saving. Yeah,
no kidding.
No, literally. They did studies and they found out that there's no reason we should be doing this.
Oh, really?
This is all a huge mistake. Just,
I know a lot of people have been against it for a long time. A lot of people think that it's outlived its usefulness because we're not farmers anymore.
It's BS.
I know I'm not a farmer. I can only speak for me.
You know what? I agree with you. You are not a farmer. I back Kevin's play on this one.
Look, I have no what's the expression? You don't have a horse in this race, but it is nice to have the extra daylight at the end of the day. It is nice that the sun doesn't go down at 5 o'clock now.
For what?
Just to enjoy, have a longer day. You feel like you can do more stuff, get more done because there's more daylight. Don't you agree that in the wintertime when it gets dark really early, it seems like the days are super short and it's not as much fun as having a long day where you have an
evening? What are you doing that you need sunlight for?
He goes out and plays. And when his mom calls for dinner, it's dark.
A guy who never leaves his house. What does he need the sunlight? Who needs sunlight less than Bean?
Psychologically, it's nice to have what feels like longer days and more daylight. That's all. I'm just saying, I'm trying to point out that for some people, there is an advantage to this time of year. That's all.
Tell that
to the time change.
Tell that to the increased heart attacks that are caused by regularly changing sleep cycles in Americans. There's more heart attacks after the clock changes than any other time of the year. Those two times of the year.
Really?
High marks of heart attacks.
That's weird.
Because you're effing with your body's sleep cycle. It lowers productivity, the extra tiredness we all feel by losing that hour. The energy savings, if there are, in fact, any, and they say, you know, because there's more light, you turn on your lights less and everything. You know, you get an extra hour of daylight, so you don't use your electrical appliances as much. Minimal, if they exist at all, says one study this year they just did. The uncoordinated time changes causes confusion, undermining economic efficiency. Being out of sync with European time changes projected a cost to the airline industry of $147 million a year.
Holy moly.
By the way, talk show host Richard Roper, newspaper columnist, author, he had a great idea, which is if we're going to continue to do this time change where we lose that hour this weekend, do it Friday afternoon at 4. Boom. Now how many Americans are happy?
Okay,
so
you
got a little earlier, and then you have a weekend to kind of catch up.
Yeah,
right,
I like that.
Exactly.
That's
rather
not bad.
Than, yeah.
I'm just saying, daylight savings time is for suckers.
It is. It is. Daylight savings time.
Saving.
All right, let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office as we do every Monday morning. 300, Rise of an Empire, rose to the top of the ranks at number one this weekend with $45 million in box office sales.
How was it, Kevin?
Awesome.
How could
loud,
they,
right?
How could they do it?
It was very loud.
It's already the movie. How can they make this movie? Kevin was asking us all in the other room the other day. Seemed a little confused by the whole concept. But apparently he liked it.
How dare you?
That's what you asked
not
us.
Not enough blood, first of all. Not enough death.
How about swords? Do they have enough swords?
They had enough swords, yeah.
How's that Eva Green?
She's something. She's great.
Deal.
Yeah.
She's a great actress.
That's really amazing.
And lovely. Mr. Peabody and Sherman, its debut did very well. $32.5 million.
What was that, Bean?
Big competitors.
Didn't make it.
I don't like the animated films. Nonstop. $15.4 million made it number three, the Lego movie, and then Son of God, Jesus, still doing well there in the top five. Surfer Jesus, love him. The Monuments Men was sixth, 3 Days to Kill, Frozen, 12 Years a Slave, and Ride Along were your top 10 movies at the box office. I thought of Kevin this morning as I saw this news. Connecticut, Kevin.
Yes.
Could be the first state to legislate the volume of movies played in its movie theaters. Curb loud movie theaters.
Oh, thank God the government's getting involved in that.
No more loud movies for you. How will you live if it becomes a nationwide ban on turning the volume up in movie theaters?
That's stupid, dumb, and absurd.
It's loud with movie.
The state's legislature is considering a bill which would prevent theaters from showing a film or preview that exceeds 85 decibels. Because apparently, the noise not only damages the hearing of those watching the movies, but those who work in the theaters as well. The American Tinnitus Association.
that's a party group right there.
Says that 85 decibels is the sound of average traffic.
And that's as loud as they want it to
that's
be?
That's as loud as they want it to be for you, Kevin.
Average traffic.
Oh, you're going to be so unhappy.
Are you kidding?
I thought, you know, explosions louder. You're
screaming at the projectionist. Oh, I'll be very, very unhappy. Congratulations to Stacy Keibler. She got married over the weekend. To a nerd, a geek, a tech entrepreneur named Jared Probe. He's a rich geek, but he's a geek nonetheless. Yeah. When the computer geeks start getting the models, that's the world I want to live in, by the way. It's good times for everybody. And speaking of geeks, today's the anniversary of the invention of the telephone. What would we do without Alexander Graham Bell and his magical machine? 1876, when it was invented. Alexander Graham Bell, of course, famously had phone sex on that very first day with his
is that true?
With his partner, Mr.
I
Watson.
Don't, yeah. That doesn't
sound... The famous line, first words used on telephone.
Come here, Watson. I want you. That's what he said.
Wow.
Bam, chicka, bam, bam. Next thing you know, him and Watson laying a little cable of their own. You know what I'm saying?
So this could be the first of your new historical porn series that's coming
out? That's right. Bam, bam, something for the fellas.
Get Washington and Adams, get them to do a video together.
And we're getting details, slowly but surely, about the plans for the big wedding, the big royal wedding. Kim and Kanye, May 24th. Well, that one. There's only one.
I was trying to think which royalty was getting married. It didn't occur to
American
me.
American royalty, my friends.
Okay, all right.
It's going to be in Paris. We know that for sure. The official wedding date is May the 24th. Kanye is micromanaging the whole thing.
Love it.
Because, and here's his quote, he wants the wedding to break the boundaries of what to expect when it comes to a wedding. Kim has been shut out of the meetings with the wedding planner.
That's not surprising at all.
He wants everything to be avant-garde and groundbreaking.
Wow.
Plans include, according to sources, a fashion show and a concert.
Sure. A fashion show and a concert.
At the wedding. Because it's going to shatter everything you ever knew about weddings.
Is that a worthy goal?
No. It's just getting married and shut up. The best part, however, the best detail.
Yeah.
They both will wear crowns. That is going to happen. They
couldn't love it more.
Are going to be wearing crowns when they get married. Because Kanye says they are American royalty.
Hmm. It's tough to argue, you know?
Yes, actually not at all. It's not tough to argue. It's easy to argue.
Oh, all right.
They are not American royalty whatsoever. And if they are, they are our American royalty.
Yeah.
I'm calling for a national uprising against the royal family. Get the pitchforks and the torches. Let's storm the castle. Today's celebrity birthdays. Everybody was born today. Everybody.
All people?
All people apparently were born today. Here's your list. I'm not going to give ages, because we'd be here all day.
Okay.
Here we go. Chuck Norris, Shannon Tweed, Sharon Stone, Jasmine Guy, Jeff Ament of Pearl Jam, Rick Rubin, John Hamm, Timbaland, Robin Thicke, Danny Pudi, Carrie Underwood, Olivia Wilde, and Emily Osment. All celebrating birthdays.
Wow.
Everybody was born today. Everybody.
Except for the people that you didn't name.
Except for all those people.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman, and I'm wearing a crown.
From inside the TMZ newsroom joins us in a few minutes. By the way, he has evidence now posted on the site. We'll talk to him about that. Justin Bieber is, in fact, a dick.
Oh, my God.
It's now been confirmed.
Yep.
Also, we'll talk to Harvey about the topless Kate Upton photos that are making the rounds as well. So that's coming up. Highlights from the Lindsay Lohan reality series kicked off last night. What's Up with Florida? And, of course, at 720, details on Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014.
So this past weekend, of course, daylight savings kicked in. And that's what?
Daylight saving. It's called daylight saving time.
It's not called that because I hear everybody say daylight savings time. So.
Right.
Thank you, Lisa.
It's a name. It's a title. I mean, there's a right and a wrong. It's not a judgment. It's named daylight saving time.
This matters to Bean so much, and we're fascinated by this because I honestly don't see the difference. It doesn't make any difference to me.
Well, it doesn't make any difference to anyone. The minute anyone says daylight savings time, you know exactly what they're talking about.
But isn't that true of any title that you could mangle? I mean, look, if we called the movie a Silver Lining Playbook, if we only called it Silver Lining Playbook, people would go, it's Silver Lining's Playbook. You got the title wrong.
No one would say
it's
that.
It's exactly the same thing. It's that the one name is right, the other one is wrong. So it just doesn't make any sense to intentionally say it wrong.
But one name has been universally accepted by either way. People know exactly what it's talking about. It's just common usage.
Look, I'm not saying people don't understand. I'm just saying one is right and one is wrong, so why not say it right?
But your disproportionate passion for this this issue is borderline insanity. You realize that, right?
That's correct.
I don't think so at all. Look, I am surprised when I see legitimate news outlets like the Today Show and NBC and websites like Mashable and NPR even. I'm surprised to see them not at least go to the goddamn AP style book and see which one is right and which one is wrong.
Well, it's not important. That's why they don't do that.
Well, they don't bother. Yeah, you could say that no spelling and no grammar is important, but I think it does make things work better if we have standardized spellings for things.
But you know that just like the definition of the word literally, once it gains you know, mass proportions and most people use it. And all those people that you just mentioned, it's only a matter of time, maybe even less than a year, before they just change it and say either is good, either is fine.
I don't think so.
Because of usage.
Because literally is a word that people were using incorrectly. This is a title that people are just spelling wrong. Very different.
How's that different?
It's very different.
It is, because it's very different, because they're not going to go back to the Uniform Time Act of 1966 and change the name to Daylight Saving Time. They're just not. It's not going to happen.
The next time you say you're busy, I'm going to hit you in the head with a steel girder. Because anybody with this much time to commit to Daylight Savings Time is not busy.
Saving.
With anything in their life of any worth or value.
Bean cannot let it go by.
Just let it go.
If it said Daylight Savings, he has to correct it to saving.
Yeah, so, definitely saving. Yeah, definitely saving.
So it's time for...
That's right. Tweet.
Bean! Woo! What a batch. What a batch this weekend, boys and girls. Sit back, buckle up, because I have a telephone book's worth of tweets here that we're going to have to get through.
That's right. Tweet.
Bean!
I believe I tweeted exactly one time about this topic to people who follow me on Twitter, by the way.
Wow.
Everything else was
You're a liar,
writing,
as well as insane.
Everyone, other tweet was, I was writing to somebody who had used it incorrectly. So only people who followed those people would see the tweets. What I'm saying is I wasn't doing nothing but tweeting about this to my readers all week long.
That's the music, Bean.
Got it.
Paste Magazine. Dear Paste Editor, it's called Daylight Saving Time, not savings. Never savings.
That's right, tweet.
Bean. That Eric Helper. You pride yourself in accuracy, so you'll want to know it's correctly named Daylight Saving, not Savings.
That's right, tweet.
Bean. OCSD. To your tweeter, it's named Daylight Saving Time, not Savings. Honest.
That's right, tweet.
Bean.
Just trying to help.
Mashable, dear editor, it's called Daylight Saving Time, not Savings. You should know that.
Oh, he's getting angry.
No, it's not angry. It's just that if you're an editor for a popular website like that, you should know how to spell.
Gizmodo, dear editor, it's named Daylight Saving Time, not Savings. You should know that.
That's right, tweet.
At LA Times City Beat, at LA Marathon. Hey, editor, it's called Daylight Saving Time, not Savings. Honest.
That's right, tweet.
Bean. Hey, editor at Mashable. It's called Daylight Saving Time, not Savings, per AP Stylebook and Congress and the world.
That's right, tweet.
Bean. You are NPR. You should know it correctly. Called Daylight Saving, not Savings Time. Thanks or thank to you.
That's right, tweet.
Bean.
See what I did there?
Hey, NBC, LA, Today Show, Dr. Canapari, Fulton County Schools, New York, one raunchy genius.
Oh, my God.
It's daylight saving time this weekend, never savings. Huffington Post.
Come on.
You got it right in the article, but not in your tweet. It's daylight saving, not savings.
And finally, the Twitter battle that raged between Bean and this other guy was the greatest thing
that ever... Oh, somebody took on Bean on this?
Oh, this poor bastard took on Bean.
He didn't know.
He was 27 years old. He's no longer with us.
Oh, it's too bad.
Joe MG 323.
Okay.
Sorry, but a case can be made for either being correct.
Tell that to the Universal Time Act of 1966. It has one name, and it is Daylight Saving Time.
Joe responds, that act may use that variation, but either is grammatically correct, and you're still a dick.
You're confused. This is not a grammar issue, it's a name. Like Silver Linings Playbook is correct, Lining is not.
Okay, Bean, writes Joe, enjoy Daylight Savings.
Oh, and for the record...
Oh, Joe adds, oh, and for the record, it's the Uniform Time Act, not the Universal Time Act.
Ah.
No big deal, though, right?
Sweet move.
My mistake. Sorry. Glad you looked that up. You learned so much today.
That's great.
You should know that.
For the record, when we misspeak on this show, when we incorrectly pronounce words on this show, I appreciate it very much when somebody reaches out and lets us know so that we don't continue to make the same mistake. So thank you for that.
B, no one in this world cares. Nobody cares except you. The Today Show and AP and NPR.
Stop the presses!
None of them care. Hello?
Thanks for that.
Tweet.
B!
You can get your TMZ on Fox Channel 11 every afternoon at 4 and then again at 6. And then TMZ Sports airs weekends at midnight also on Fox. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in the newsroom. How are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Thanks so much for joining us. This series of Bieber clips, these Bieber clips that you put up on the site today are unfreaking believable. Harvey, tell us the story behind these.
Unbelievable. I mean, I'll tell you, I've seen a lot.
Yeah.
This stunned me.
Well,
this stunned me.
For people who have never had the pleasure of being in a deposition, I have, and Bean has, and they can be super contentious.
Well,
I mean,
here's the thing. Look, let's cut to it.
All right.
Bieber's been on stage since he was 12. There's a camera pointing right at him.
Right.
So he knows he's got an option on what he's going to do. His lawyers clearly told him, stay cool, don't cop an attitude, just answer the questions, take our cue. That's the drill.
Right.
Okay, so he's got to make a choice. I have never seen anybody come off so bad. And it's not about the case. The case is irrelevant. It's a stupid case. But it is.
I agree.
Which case is this? Is this the one with the photographer?
Yeah, this is the one where he supposedly ordered his bodyguard to beat up a photographer.
Okay.
But who cares? The thing is, it's a 4.5-hour deposition. We got all 4.5 hours.
Wow.
And
can I interrupt you right there? How and why? I mean, are you...
We are connected in the case. We're hooked up.
Do they normally release this kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, there's no gag order in this.
Okay.
Harvey, one of the reasons, look, I'm not defending Bieber in any way, but one of the reasons people run out of patience for attorneys is it takes 4.5 hours to do a deposition on something that should take 15 minutes.
No, I got it. But when you start feigning sleeping and you get insulting and you start mocking everybody, what is this, a 60 minutes interview? Are you Katie Couric? And you know, and then he disrespects Usher. You gotta see it. I mean, look, I'm not doing this as a shameless plug for the website.
No,
I mean,
it is shocking.
That. You gotta see it.
It's awesome.
No, you've just got. I mean, and there are some incredibly dumb moments. He asked if Usher discovered him, and he says he was discovered on YouTube, so he says he doesn't give Usher credit. And then he wants to say that he was instrumental to his own career. Problem is, he says, I was detrimental to my own career. And you know what? It's actually true.
Yeah.
You know, when the attorney brings up Usher, and by the way, how crazy is it that backstory is necessary for this case, that they even need to bring up his music career?
Dumb. I mean,
it's ridiculous. But Justin says, doesn't he say something like, Usher, I think I've heard of him, or something
that? Yeah, no, he totally does.
And then they, at one point, and again, you can see all of this video at the front page of TMZ.com, and you really have to watch it. They have edited it down to some great clips. We're going to play some audio here in a minute. But at one point, the other attorney asks him to look at a film that's showing on a screen, because he wants some play-by-play, some comment. And Justin's like, oh, is that a film? You call that a film? That's not a film. I mean, it's like everything he can possibly be a dick about, he's being a dick about.
It's painful.
It
you
is.
Just dislike him so much, and it's. I don't know. To me, it's you know, when he acts up and he hits a photographer or does whatever he does, you know, that's his deal. You know, but when you see this, unrelenting debaggery.
Well, unrelenting debaggery is playing Coachella.
You've got disrespectful Bieber, contentious Bieber, lovesick Bieber, and I think we've added to doubt a little bit of arrogant Bieber. You can get an idea. Please go to TMZ.com and watch the video, because it's even better if you can see it. But listen to a little bit about how little Justin talks back in this deposition.
Remember earlier today when I asked you?
No.
Why don't you listen to what I have to say, and then maybe you'll tell me yes or no.
I don't have to listen to anything you have to say.
Clarify my question. Today, if you have a question about my question,
today is
you
not
have
for
the
you
right to be
over.
Clear for you to be able to be
Mr.
clear.
Mr.
Do you remember being in Australia ever?
I don't know if I've been to Australia. I've been to Australia.
Are you aware that Scooter Braun knows that your bodyguards have attacked photographers?
What objection to form?
What kind of question is that? That didn't make sense.
That's correct.
Doesn't make sense. That's a weird question. That didn't make sense.
Can you just ask some foundation?
I didn't hear your response. I'm
you know, ple- you know, I didn't, fin- you I didn't finish my. I didn't finish.
Oh, I'm sorry. I want to interrupt.
Oh, really? You didn't want to interrupt.
Is it true that you know that your security guards will punch, grab, and push Paps if they need to?
I object.
Would you please look at the film that's up there?
Go ahead, sir.
This is a film?
Please, sir.
This is a film?
Pause it. Would you please watch the television?
You said it's a film. You said watch the film. Is this a film?
Is there a difference between a film and something else?
Yes.
So yes or no? Answer it.
I just hate him.
He's the worst. He needs a timeout. He needs to be sent to his room without supper, Harvey. That's what he needs.
Oh God,
that's unbelievable.
No, seriously, you got to. When we're about to put something up where he says "f you" to the court reporter.
Oh, this sweet, woman, the court says, reporter.
I know. It's just, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. it's just crazy.
Harvey, you deserve to take the rest of the day off. As far as I'm concerned, you've already contributed all that needs to be contributed to our Monday with this tape. It's great stuff, Harvey.
I wish that permission were enough.
Harvey Levin at TMZ.com. Don't forget, TMZ Live airs at 4, then TMZ at 6, then TMZ Sports airs weekends at midnight on Fox, and TMZ.com is the place to go. Harvey, thanks for everything, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys, we'll see you.
Highlights from the debut of the Lindsay Lohan reality series on the Oprah Network last night. Kevin, you drew the short straw. You're bringing in some tape of that in a few minutes.
Yeah. Yes,
how's
I
she,
did.
How's she look, by the way? Does she look better now that she's out of jail?
She looks okay. Her lips are too big.
Yeah.
Sorry, they just are.
Yeah. Plus details at 7:20 on Kevin Bean's April Foolishness. I think this is the fifth or sixth year in a row we put together the best comedy show of the year in Southern California. We'll have those highlights and details for you coming up in about a half an hour. First, though, there's an attorney that everyone in America, certainly every attorney in America, is taking a look at because he put together a video ad that has gotten hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube, and he took a little different approach. His name is Daniel Music. He is a graduate of the 2012 University of Pittsburgh Law School, and he basically is advertising for criminals. He's like, look, I'm an attorney, but I think like a criminal. Here's a little bit of Daniel's ad.
My name is Daniel Music, and I'm a criminal defense attorney based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I stand ready, willing, able, and committed to defend you on all manner of criminal charges, including murder, arson, burglary, bank robbery, simple and aggravated assault, and possibly even funny throwback crimes such as moonshining or pickpocketing.
And a lot of people are saying, hey, you're kind of advertising that people who are guilty get off, to which I say, isn't that why you hire an attorney? Isn't that what you want an attorney for? Mr. Music joins us on the phone on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Hello, sir.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
We're good. We're doing great. Thanks a lot for joining us. When did you put your ad up on YouTube?
Late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, yeah.
And tell us what the reaction has been like.
It's been overwhelmingly positive, honestly. I mean, there are some people who are angry, and that's to be understood. It's a given. You know, you can't really concern yourself with them. But most people seem to really like it. I think they identify with the fact that I'm telling the truth and I'm reaching out directly to people that I want to help and represent.
What is the primary complaint that you're hearing from people who don't like your ad, Daniel?
Well, I mean, I think it breaks down along a lot of lines. I think there are many lawyers and people who don't understand that the element of satire exists in the commercial, and they just think, which to me is kind of amazing, because I don't see how you couldn't see that that was funny.
Well, whereas the problem, though,
attempting to be funny, and I think that the other, and I think that there are, I think, and then there's also people who just really can't and the fact that anybody who's accused of a crime is entitled to a defense.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Is the problem is it seems like people already don't like the whole defense attorney thing. Everybody understands it needs to be there, but you don't want to think that the guy who committed murder is going to get off because of a technicality or whatever. So the deck is already stacked against you before you even show this ad.
Right, absolutely. And that was one of the reasons that I decided to do something a little bit edgy, a little bit maybe, you know, use asymmetrical means of communicating with people as opposed to a very traditional button-down legal ad that probably nobody would have watched or cared about anyways, because I really love being a criminal defense attorney. I am really committed to representing the people I represent, and I want to help more people. I want to reach out to more people. And I know that for my generation, this is an effective way of doing it, as opposed to, say, an ad in the Yellow Pages.
Right.
You know, something off like that.
Yeah, there's no question the ad is effective. I mean, look, word is going to spread, hey, this guy looks out for us criminals. If we get in trouble, let's go to Dan. I mean, that's where that's your client base. Most of the people that defense attorneys represent are guilty, right?
Well, I don't know about that. I think that guilt is a malleable standard, and I'm not even trying to be glib when I say that. I honestly believe that the situation is like this, and I actually just said this in a previous interview, but I think it bears repeating. Very rarely do you have somebody walk into your office and, you know, they're the stereotypical evil genius, and they're, you know, twiddling their mustache, and they tell you that, you know, they're guilty and that you're going to get them off. I mean, you know, life isn't a Law and Order episode. It's more that you have confused, oppressed people with really, really tragic lives and backstories that maybe aren't as innocent as they would like to be, because nobody likes to get in trouble, even when you did do something wrong. I think it's a natural human reaction that we all can sympathize with. I mean, we've all done things wrong and still feel terrible, you know, to go through the process of it. And they might not be as guilty as they want, or as innocent as they want to be, but they most of the time are not as guilty as the authorities allege. And it's your job to kind of try to shoot the gap there and, you know, mitigate the damage if you can't get them off entirely. And the way that you do that is you stick by them and you fight with them. And that's what I was trying to show in my commercial. I was not trying to imply, I really wasn't, that I condone those activities, that, you know, that people will get off, because honestly, if you say, I say over and over again, anybody who promises you results is lying to you, you know, and there are plenty of people who do that, and that is very unethical.
Right.
And that's why I took pains to disclaim it. I'm just saying that I'll fight for you.
When you say I'm an attorney, but I think like a criminal, what do you mean by that, Daniel?
Well, I meant more, it was more kind of a quick way of saying that, maybe more so than other people, I understand where they're coming from a little bit better than most people who have gone through law school and passed the bar and are in this sector of the profession, and that I'm not going to judge them and I'm not going to condescend to them. So I'm aware maybe a little bit more of the pressures they face and what they want out of the process, because they are my clients.
Gotcha. Hey, in the video, the first couple of minutes of the video, and we're going to tweet this out from the @KevinandBean account for people who want to see Daniel Musick, the attorney from Pittsburgh that we're on the line with right now. You can see their video right there. Are these all actors, people that you hired to play the prostitute and to play the breaking and entering guy and the car thief guy? Those are all. Did you have a casting call or something?
No, the prostitute was the only actress. I think she's a model slash actress. Everybody else in there was my friend. Everyone in there, they're just my friends. You know, they're just guys. They're guys I know from around town. They're people. You know, the one guy is my cousin. He's like my best friend in the world.
It did kind of look like I was watching a Steelers game on my TV to see that crowd.
Right. Totally. Yeah. You know, we're just Pittsburgh guys, man. You know, it was just like, you know, I got together. I called up some of my boys and they agreed to help me out. We came down and we made the commercial. Even the guys who shot it. I mean, they're a professional production company called Covalent Productions, but, you know, they're all my friends too. You know,
wow. Well, I mean, they did a great job on the video. I mean,
no, they really did.
You could see, I mean, obviously, as you know, I'm sure your phone is ringing off the hook. I'm sure you're getting more business than you can handle with this. What kind of reaction are you getting from other attorneys in town?
Honestly, it's been overwhelmingly positive. And I think a lot of people, see what I'm trying to do and they get it. The people who don't like it really don't like it. I don't think it's something that you really come down wishy-washy.
Yeah, you don't go, I can take it or leave it.
Yeah, exactly. Most people, I either get, rousing support, or I get people saying, who don't know me saying that they hate me pretty much.
Gotcha.
It's pretty, but I would say far more support than the hatred, but definitely there's people who are mad.
You keep your trap shut, I'll keep your trap open. That's your slogan, right, Dan?
Yeah, it's one of them. sat around trying to think of as many catchy ones as I could get in there.
All right, All Crime All the Time, attorney Dan Music. By the way, you can follow Dan on Twitter at ThanksDanEsq for Esquire, and his website is DanielMusicEsq.com. And again, we're going to tweet out that video so people can see it. I think it's great. Look, every attorney who's out there is essentially advertising so that people who need criminal representation will contact them. You're just doing it in a funny way. I got no problem with what you did, Dan. I appreciate you coming on the Kevin Bean Show to talk to us today.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Go now.
And it's time for the showbiz.
Go now.
There was a talk that you were going to hit the moment with. That's what we discussed.
Oh, sorry. I'm totally thrown off by the stupid clock situation. It's driving me nuts.
Sure.
We can't get the clock changed.
All that math you got to do to get the correct time on the air.
It is.
Add 1 hour, I would suggest to you. Whenever you look up there.
If it says 5:52.
Say 6:52. Just add an hour.
There you go. That's all there is to it.
Add an additional hour.
All right, let me make a note. All right.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
I'll probably have his picture there with a sudden little...
That was A Moment with Kevin.
We discovered that, actually. Ralph heard it. No one else did.
Yeah.
And then they pulled it late Friday. And who knows what that was.
I thought maybe I had a stroke. Like, did he just say, have a picture of them with some noodles? And no one reacted to it. I said, maybe it's me. Maybe I just lost my hearing mid-sentence. Right.
Turns out, excellent work.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
I'll probably have his picture there with a sentinel.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
The Sentinels. You don't want the Sentinels coming after you.
You don't.
Well done. No. All right, moving on now. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. Don't forget, we're only about 20 minutes away from all the details you need to know for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014.
Speaking of me being here... I'm also going to be someplace else. Tonight on Comedy Central's show At Midnight, you may want to tune in to see myself and my buddies Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes as the contestants tonight on Chris Hardwick's hilarious comedy game show At Midnight. You can see it on Comedy Central tonight at midnight.
Still trying to work out the scoring system. I can't...
Points!
I can't get any.
That's all you need to know. Points!
Points. Okay. That's all that matters.
All right. What a great show, by the way. And Chris is an excellent host at that thing.
At midnight.
What time is it?
At midnight.
Oh. So if the clock says 11, Kevin, you just think midnight, okay?
I don't know. I'm thrown off. This clock. The Sentinels. It is Monday. It means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. 300, Rise of an Empire. Did very well in its debut. $45 million made it number one. Right behind that was Mr. Peabody and Sherman. I haven't seen it, but I have friends who saw it and really enjoyed it. $32.5 million made it number two. Nonstop, The Lego Movie and Son of God were your top five movies at the box office. The Monuments Men was sixth. Then 3 Days to Kill, Frozen, 12 Years a Slave, and Ride Along, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Well, we knew it was a matter of time. No one should be surprised. But apparently, Charlie Sheen...
Oh, no.
Causing some problems over there.
Oh, no.
For the rest of the cast and crew of his show, Anger Management. What kind of problem is Charlie causing? Well, apparently it's hard to make the show when Charlie doesn't show up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. According to Hollywood Reporter, he has not shown up for days now to the set of his FX series in recent weeks. And they've been forced to use stand-ins for Charlie and film certain scenes from certain angles to get what they can in his absence. Now, keep in mind, FX ordered 100 episodes of this series.
Right.
That was part of his deal. If the first 10 episodes or so reached a certain threshold of the ratings, then they would have to automatically renew the show for 100 episodes, filmed all at once, so that Charlie could get all that syndication money and everything out of the way before he moved on to looking for the Loch Ness Monster with his porn star girlfriend or whatever it was.
And let's remember that Charlie had always said, even with all the problems that he had on his last show, Two and a Half Men, that it never affected his work, that he was a guy who was always professional, he was always on time, he always knew his line. Remember, that used to always be his thing.
Yep. He said he would have to hold on to the furniture sometimes, keep from falling over, but he was always there and always delivering. Well, now he's not there and not delivering.
The show is reportedly two-thirds of the way through its order of 100 episodes. They should finish this fall, of course, provided that Charlie comes back.
Well, I mean,
shows up once in a while.
I guess
that would slow down production if you're starting.
Probably
not show up.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember
correctly.
That's
right, Kevin. He also has a wooden hand, which also impedes production sometimes. He goes, "How can he hold the props with his wooden hand?" Fox Network has given four of its TV series early renewals, so we know for sure that Andy Samberg's Brooklyn Nine-Nine will be back for another season.
Awesome, good.
The Mindy Project will also be returning. New Girl, hey girl, what you doing?
Good.
It'll be back for another season, along with the drama The Following. Also okay. Got an early renewal. Glee was already renewed for a sixth season, so we knew that was coming back. Sleepy Hollow and Bones were also renewed, so we have a pretty good idea what Fox will be showing to us next fall. You know, Dave Sanchez, by the way, still watches Glee.
King of Mexico.
Wow. The only one I know.
Every episode, he still watches
wow.
Glee. Who do you know is still watching Glee?
No one. Just Dave.
That's weird. I don't know. Fox must love Dave.
It was a...
They're putting the show on just for one guy.
It was American Idol big for a while, right?
It was a monster show. Yeah. And then it dropped off in quality so rapidly.
Yeah. It did. It sure did.
In the second season. And then everyone said, well, I'm not going to watch that anymore, but not Dave.
Dave, every episode.
Oh, I still watch it.
You haven't missed an episode, King of Mexico?
I have not. I am currently up to date.
I saw the promo. I saw the promo for the 100th episode that they're advertising last week or something. And it, honestly, Ralph, I was shocked to realize it was still on the air. When I saw that commercial, I was like, what? Glee is still a thing? I had no idea.
Did you recognize any of the people in the commercial?
Jane Lynch is the only one.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's a brand new batch of kids. It's like Saved by the Bell, the college years or something. It's a whole different crew. Very, very
strange. Who knew?
Not me. I didn't. And sad news for citizens in Qatar, Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates. They will not be able to see Russell Crowe save the world as Noah in the upcoming film. Censors in those Muslim countries will not release the film, banning it on religious grounds.
What's their complaint with it? Is it it's not biblically accurate? Or
they say the film contradicts the teachings of Islam. Do they not have Noah in the Quran? Is that not one of the stories
I don't
we
know.
Share with them?
It's not.
Guess not. They think it was Ahmed who built the boat and put two of every kind
well,
in
I'm
there.
Well, I'm not sure every religion has a boat story.
I think everyone has a boat story. Okay. How did we survive the floods, Kevin? It's science.
It is science.
Someone had to pick up the animals, take them up to Mount Frat.
You sure about that?
You should check the name of that mountain. Fratu Rata Nictu. Several other countries are expected to follow suit, including Egypt, Jordan, and Kuwait. So those folks won't get to see Russell and his beard fighting the floods. It's a shame, because it looks like a good time had by all. And this is bad news. There should be a moratorium. This should not be allowed to happen. Oscar wins seem to bring out strange stories about its winners, and this week Star Magazine had an interview with a stripper in Kentucky who has come forward to say that in 2009, when Jared Leto was dating Cameron Diaz, she and two of her co-workers were invited onto Jared's 30 Seconds to Mars tour bus for a naughty lap dance party. You don't get to tell that tale now from 2009.
And so what, by the way?
First of all, he's a rock star, and they had a tour bus, and they had strippers on there, and that's a story. But
yeah.
Secondly, you're a stripper. Just shut up. You got paid, right? There has to be some sort of understanding between the client and the stripper. There must be some sort of privilege there where those stories don't get exposed.
I agree. You have a two-part mission, young lady. Use A, shake it. B, shut up.
Right.
Shake it and shut it.
Shake it and shut it. Oh, we can't have our strippers telling tales out of school. And that erodes the basic foundation of our society. It's all going to come crumbling down. First it was the mistresses, now it's the strippers. They're just all talking.
It's not what Jefferson had in mind when he founded this great nation,
not.
I'll tell you that.
When he was sleeping with one of his slaves. One of their parts of their deal was, you be quiet, Sally Hemings. All right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Too many people. Just too many people having birthdays today. Here's some of your highlights. John Hamm is 43.
He made an appearance on Saturday Night Live this weekend, the Lena Dunham episode. He's as dreamy as ever, Ralph.
He's the best. Carrie Underwood is 31. Olivia Wilde turns 30. Rick Rubin, super genius, 51 years old today. Sharon Stone's 56. Shannon Tweed is 57.
I like that Shannon Tweed. She's a good-looking lady.
And Chuck Norris celebrates his 74th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
K-Rock presents Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. All the details for you in less than 15 minutes from right now. I think you're going to be very excited about the show. Speaking of shows, last night was, man, there's so much TV these days. I watched that Cosmos last night, that new show produced by Seth MacFarlane. I mean, if you're a science geek, you loved it.
Okay.
It's fascinating. It's so different to see something like that on network primetime TV. And I know it's also on National Geographic and some other channels, but this was on Fox last night. I really, really enjoyed it. Last night, of course, was the True Detective season finale was last night. But another new show that debuted was Lindsay Lohan's show just called Lindsay on the OWN network. Now, Oprah pretty much has taken Lindsay under her wing and is going to help her get straight. Is that the idea? Is that Oprah's going to rehab her or what?
It seems like she's going to guide her with a firm hand. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And make sure that she can release her back into the wild.
All I know about last night's show, I did not see it, is that she is a chain smoker, even though she's out of rehab. She smokes all the time, and that she doesn't own a bra. Those are the two takeaways I've read online.
Both are true. It's the most stressful hour of TV I've ever seen.
Really?
I don't know how people can live like that. I really don't.
What's going on with her?
Well, Oprah starts out interviewing her. And Oprah is two times what you remember her on the TV show.
You mean in terms of size?
She has not passed up any food
okay.
since she's been on television. And so she sits down across from Lindsay, and she wants to know what's going on with her, and is she addicted, and blah, 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 what everybody wants to know.
Are you an addict?
Yeah.
And what is it you are addicted to?
Alcohol. Yeah.
Well, let me just share a concern that I have, because I heard that you're planning on going to Europe.
Okay, now, we are 12 seconds in. She's busting her chops and already calling her out on something.
Good for her.
Okay. Because Lindsay was going to go to Europe, and wait till you hear for what?
I'm going to be doing a yoga and meditation type of retreat. So that's basically what I'm doing.
Okay. So this is the thing. I'm wondering if it is, have you thought through, is that the best decision for you at this time? Because there's something about Europe being the playground for, you know, fun and pleasure.
I'm different.
You're different?
I'm different.
Really?
I feel different.
Mm-hmm. I'm not here to tell you what to do, because I'm not your coach.
Yes, you are.
I'm just asking you to consider that.
Okay.
Consider it.
I'm going to.
She canceled her trip.
Yeah.
Wow.
They have yoga
well,
retreats in the U.S., by the way.
They do not right. have any yoga retreats outside of the United States or inside
you don't,
the United States.
You don't cross Oprah. If Oprah makes a suggestion, it's basically an order.
Yeah. Right. So then they follow Lindsay around for a couple of days in Los Angeles before she moves to New York City. And she is very, very peaceful, and she's in control, and everything is everything.
The last few days in L.A. have been great. I'm in a really good place where, you know, I have this inner peace that I found where everything, all the things, you know, the distractions that and the chaos that goes on outside, just in daily life in general, don't really affect me anymore.
And that was the last moment that it was not stressful.
Oh, no.
So then she moves to New York and she says how happy she is to be with her family, her mom. Because they're all a part of her sobriety, and I just remember, I was just sitting there thinking, wait a minute, weren't both of your parents partying with you? And
yes.
Isn't this
I feel like her parents were contributing as much stress and pressure to Lindsay's life as anything.
Her mom, Dina, did not ever visit her in Malibu when she was in rehab for 90 days. And then she'd only seen her one time before. So then she walks into the door, and her mom's like, oh, cameras, why didn't you tell me?
Oh, geez.
As if she didn't know that Oprah's show and her daughter was coming home, and she's moving, and she's trying to find an apartment. And she's sitting on the floor of the hotel while she's trying to pack and unpack and get stuff ready. And she's talking about her time in jail and how unfair that was.
When I had to go in, when I surrendered and turned myself in, I obviously went into solitary. It was for safety purposes, but it was, God. The girl, I guess, was in the next pod in the cell next to me, and they released her. They let her out when I got put in. And the judge at the time that I had kept overruling me getting released, even though they were overcrowded. She kept making me stay there. What they were doing was just punishing me instead of trying to help me. Like, they didn't get it. It was all about being the tough one with me and making me an example. It wasn't, how could we really just
figure this out with this person, you know?
It's a good point. She has a point. How could we not figure this out with this person?
I don't know anything about rehab, but is part of the deal that you look back and bitch about all the injustices against you back when you were drinking and breaking the law?
I do not believe that's part of it.
I thought you were supposed to move on from that and focus on the future.
That's exactly the case, yes. But she is very upset by having been forced to go to prison. Very upset by a lot of things. She's got an assistant. She's got a sober coach from the place in Malibu that goes everywhere in New York with her. And her life is an effing nightmare. I blame her partly for it because she kind of sets it up that way. But she does photo shoots and she's going around New York and the paparazzi are everywhere. And she's like, why are the paparazzi here? And I was thinking, well, because Oprah's cameras are behind you.
Yeah, exactly.
You're Lindsay Lohan walking through the streets of New York with a camera following you.
You can't miss her.
That's not the way to not draw attention to oneself. Right.
And then we don't have time. So I just edited together some of the stressful situations where she runs into, she's upset at people who, the photo shoot was different than she thought, and then she was moving, and her real estate agent isn't working hard enough to get her a place, and it's just, it made me crawl out of my skin.
I told you Sunday morning when you were there, I said to you,
I'm not flying Tuesday, so instead of doing all day Sunday, we can finish
you
doing
Tuesday.
No, listen to me, because now I'm getting pissed off. I told you that if I canceled Tuesday, then I would film all day Tuesday, and I canceled my trip. I'm not trying to be rude, Cash, but all due respect.
All right, so the first one was a lingerie line that she was supposed to shoot something for, and she cried and ran out, and now she's talking to Cash, her real estate agent.
I hear in the tone of your voice how kind of lackadaisical you are about it. Like, you don't really, I don't hear in your voice the urgency.
I really need a day today just for myself.
All right, now that is somebody else who's supposed to do a photo shoot with her, and she's reading a text from Lindsay.
Sounds like she doesn't want to shoot.
Today it was not appropriate. I was not ready.
This is exactly what everybody said was going to happen, and I believed differently. I believed that she was ready. The vultures are waiting to pick your bones. If you're not ready, I'm really okay with that.
Yeah.
Ruh-roh.
I needed to turn off the TV, and I just needed to de-stress.
You need a warm bath, some candles.
Drink a little milk. How does someone live like that?
I don't know.
Every turn was some kind of, there's paparazzi everywhere, and she's yelling at people. She's upset. Everyone's upset with her.
Well, it sounds to me, and again, I didn't see the show, but it sounds to me like she shouldn't have been trying to go back to work. Like,
right.
She should have been spending more time just focusing on her sobriety and not getting back into the busy times.
Maybe less of this show.
Maybe
which
so.
I can never watch again because I'm still stressed out.
Hit it, Steve.
Wrong button. Say it again.
Hit it, Steve.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean here, and it's April Foolishness time. This year, we're going to have...
Did somebody say fool?
Mr. T!
Shut up, fools, and quit your jibber-jabber. Mr. T's going to announce Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. If you got a problem with that, you can meet my friend, Payne.
No, sir!
Listen up, fools. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness at the Shrine Auditorium, Saturday, April 5th. These are the suckers that are performing.
Jim Jefferies.
You here in America, you're breeding stupid, confident people.
Patton Oswalt.
Nothing I'm going to say will live up to that. Stop it!
Adam Carolla.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Tim Minchin.
Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014.
Mark Maron.
All right, let's do an honest sound check. Test, test, 1, 2. I disappointed my parents. 2, 2.
Doug Benson.
They have a saying in Seattle. If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes and then shoot yourself in the face.
And if
the stripper said to me, you have bad breath. And I was like, you have a bad life.
Taylor Williamson.
They say the hardest thing in the world is raising a child. The second hardest thing is putting a comforter inside a duvet.
And Mike Graham on the 1s and 2s.
Pity the fool that doesn't go to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Be there.
Thanks, Mr. T. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, Saturday, April 5th at the Shrine Auditorium. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon.
Proceeds will benefit Cedar Sinai NICU and Fisher House. Get all the details on KROQ.com.
There you go.
Yay! I'm so excited.
That's going to be fun.
So excited to finally be able to talk about this because we've been sitting on this for a while, and some of our very favorite comedians in the world are all going to be in one place one night. I know we say this every year, and this is the sixth year in a row we've done Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, but it's the best night of comedy all year long anywhere. It's just, it's unbelievable that this is all on one stage now at the Shrine Auditorium with our friend Jim Jefferies, also Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron this year, who we've been always wanted to have on the bill. We finally got him for this year. Doug Benson, Eddie Ift, our friend Taylor Williamson, who'll be with us here tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show. House music played by our friend DJ Mike Realm. That's going to be happening. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon, and it's going to be happening on April the 5th. That's Saturday, April 5th for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014.
Now, the section up front, the pit that we used to call Fancy Pants, are we really calling it the party bus section?
Yes, we are, Kevin.
There's no party bus included, though, right?
There's no actual party bus, right. This is in honor of you, and we know how you like to party. This is the super fancy seats. This is the one where you get you get the meet and greet, and you get the T-shirt, and you get all that good stuff.
VIP parking, all that crap.
VIP parking, yeah, exactly, yeah. So there is the party bus section, and then there's all the other sections in the Shrine. You know, we just had Acoustic Christmas there, and it turns out it's a great room, a beautiful venue, and sounds great, and it's going to be perfect for this show, and we could not be more excited. And by the way, we should also mention we are once again giving proceeds to Cedar Sinai NICU. As we do, we're also including this year the Fisher House. Now, the Fisher House, if you're not familiar with that, this is the place where families of injured service people stay while the service people are being treated in the hospital. Because a lot of times I've heard such horror stories about people who literally are sleeping in their cars because they can't afford hotels because they're in town because, you know, they've got a son or a husband or a daughter or something like that that's being treated for war injuries. So the Fisher House does amazing work, and we are very excited to be able to donate money to them and to Cedars-Sinai NICU. And that's where the proceeds from your ticket sales go.
Friday at noon. If you want more details, go to krock.com. Here it is again.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean here, and it's April Foolishness time. This year, we're going to have...
Did somebody say fool?
Mr. T.
Shut up, fools, and quit your jibber-jabber. Mr. T's going to announce Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. If you got a problem with that, you can meet my friend, Payne.
No, sir.
Listen up, fools. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness at the Shrine Auditorium, Saturday, April 5th. These are the suckers that are performing.
Jim Jefferies.
You here in America, you're breeding stupid, confident people.
Patton Oswalt.
Nothing I'm going to say will live up to that. Stop it.
Adam Carolla.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Tim Minchin.
Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014.
Mark Maron.
All right, let's do an honest sound check. Test, test, 1, 2. I disappointed my parents. 2, 2.
Doug Benson.
They have a saying in Seattle. If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes and then shoot yourself in the face.
And if
the stripper said to me, you have bad breath. And I was like, you have a bad life.
Taylor Williamson.
They say the hardest thing in the world is raising a child. The second hardest thing is putting a comforter inside a duvet.
And Mike Realm on a 1s and 2. Pity the fool that doesn't go to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Be there.
Thanks, Mr. T. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, Saturday, April 5th at the Shrine Auditorium. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon.
Proceeds will benefit Cedars-Sinai NICU and Fisher House. Get all the details on krock.com.
Just announced details for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. We promised you, hey, I would like to say we were pretty close to on time for the announcement. A lot of people were mocking us that we'd be waiting all day for the announcement. We got it pretty close to 7:20, right?
If we're within an hour, we consider that a success.
That's right.
So excited about the lineup this year, too. What a great comedy show. It's going to be at the Shrine on April the 5th, the 6th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. Jim Jefferies, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, who I think really blew a lot of people away with his appearance a couple years ago. People had no idea how funny that dude was. Mark Maron this year, Doug Benson, Eddie Ift, and Taylor Williamson. That's the lineup for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014 again. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. Get all the details at krock.com.
All right. We have been in depositions before, and they suck. They can really suck. You can sit there, and the opposing lawyer can say anything they want to say to you.
Yeah.
They can put words in your mouth. They can say that you said things you didn't. They can lie about it, and you just have to sit there and basically get berated. But having said that, and I have sat through those before, and they suck. Justin Bieber is an unbelievable douche when regular questions are being asked.
Yes, that's right.
Like, have you ever been to Australia?
Yeah. He's getting cantankerous for no reason other than just he's a dick.
Right. So the TMZ put up a link where to the video, and it is awesome because you see Justin Bieber sitting there and you see him smirk and you see the look on his face of how much greater he is than everybody in the room. And the opposing lawyer is just trying to ask him like just baseline questions. Yeah. These are not lies like can really drive you crazy. They're just baseline questions. And he's trying to question Bieber. The first clip that I have is Bieber saying that he does not have to listen to the opposing counsel.
Remember earlier today when I asked you?
No.
Why don't you listen to what I have to say and then maybe you'll tell me yes or no.
I don't have to listen to anything you have to say.
Remember earlier when I asked you? No. That's unbelievable. Because, you know, what they do is they say, do you remember earlier when I asked you? And you say yes. And then they say something that really makes you mad.
Right.
He's right out the gate just like, I don't have to listen to a word you have to say. And then he continues.
Are you aware that Scooter Braun knows that your bodyguards have attacked photographers?
What objection to form?
What kind of question is that? That didn't make sense.
That's correct.
That doesn't make sense. That's a weird question. That didn't make sense.
I got to be honest. I'm with Bieber on that one. That didn't make sense. That was a weird question.
Why so many questions, bro?
So then Bieber's talking, and the opposing lawyer didn't understand that when Bieber talks, everyone in the room needs to shut the hell up because Bieber's talking.
I didn't hear your response. I'm
you know, I didn't finish. I didn't finish.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt.
Oh, really? You didn't want to interrupt?
It's unbelievable. So then the court reporter is just trying to keep track of what's being said and what's not being said because, you know, there's people talking over each other and yelling and objecting and all that kind of objecting. What's the word?
Objecting.
Yes. It was the right word for once in my life. And she could just barely keep up with it. He turns and swears at her.
My lawyer's asking a question.
I'm not here to answer his questions. You're here to answer mine.
Okay.
Do you need the question read back?
Yeah, let's read it back.
Was your answer yes?
I'm really sorry to keep asking you this, but can you please speak up?
Yes and no are pretty different.
Hold on. Let's take a break.
Wow.
Wow.
They need a break.
He is
a douche.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some of us didn't like him before, but even people who like him have to watch this and go, oh my God.
You can't support him in any way now.
I think we've been at that point for a long time with
Bieber. We have, but I'm saying the people that support him will watch this and go, wow, he's a douchebag.
Unless they're just going to defend him as saying he's being railroaded and he shouldn't be there at all and, you know, they're doing nothing but waste his time. But I mean, he is being charged with a crime and it's certainly within the opposition's right to ask questions of him.
Yeah, and he's it's fantastic. You should go to the link. You should watch it, and then if you can take it. I don't know if you can take more Bieber hate. I'm not sure.
Coming up right after the top of the hour, our friend LaQuisha reviews The Rich Kids of Beverly Hills for us, and then we're going to be talking about a documentary. I know you're usually against the Kickstarters, Ralph. Usually you hate the Kickstarters.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because you've mocked them so many times on our show before.
Well,
these people who do
dumb Kickstarters.
There can be
I used Kickstarter myself for the starring Adam West documentary. We used Kickstarter. It was a great opportunity.
Oh, so
well,
just, I think you're going to be
Kickstarter.
I think we're all going to be on board with this. A Kickstarter about a documentary about cam girls, about girls who make a living getting naked on the internet on camera.
Now, Bean, are you going to donate to that?
Like I haven't already donated to that.
Seriously?
By the way. I donate every time I call up either Ginger or Sophia.
But seriously, because I know that you did donate for photography of corn.
These are the Kickstarters I have problems with. It's not Kickstarter. It's a guy who's trying to further his photographs of corn. He's on Kickstarter trying to get money from people. And then Bean gives him money.
Right.
The guy who's trying to start his corn photography business.
Right.
Well, F that Kickstarter.
We're all down with the Cam Girls doc, and we will be talking to the beautiful Ginger and the lovely Sophia coming up next half hour here on the Kevin Beach Show right after LaQuisha. So a busy hour ahead here on KROQ. First of all, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Pictures of corn.
Being
photographs
donated.
Of different kinds of corn was a thing.
Yeah.
At one time.
Mm-hmm.
Corn photos.
Yep.
Photos of corn. Photos of corn. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. 300, Rise of an Empire. $45.1 million. Pretty strong opening weekend for that film.
By the way, it's rated R, right?
Yeah. For blood and guts and gore.
That's pretty amazing considering it, you know, it beat out the kids' movie.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Mr. Peabody and Sherman did very well, but it did come in at second. $32.5 million in its debut. Still pretty good. Nonstop, The Lego Movie, and Son of God were the top five. The Monument Men. Monuments Men. Sixth. 3 Days to Kill. Frozen. 12 Years a Slave. And Ride Along were your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
You can say monument or monuments. It doesn't matter if you put an S on anything anymore, Ralph.
I think that's true. I'm good with that.
I mean, whatever goes. Daylight savings, monuments. It's all the same.
Still trying to justify his insanity.
You know what I'm not going to do all day? Send out any tweets about anyone who were to say monument or monuments.
I'm just saying, why bother correcting it? It doesn't matter to you which one it is.
I would move forward like I had a life that was full and meaningful.
Or even if I read
empty and insane.
Even if I read that and noticed that they made a mistake, it would not occur to me to correct them
in a million years.
Bean had a very busy weekend. I'm very tired.
You should know that.
Bean spent his weekend yelling at people who said daylight savings.
I wrote some strongly worded letters.
It's madness.
It is madness. I agree.
If you saw someone do that, if you didn't know who it was, if you saw that list, an endless list of tweets, you'd say this is an insane person.
Yeah. Yeah, you
would. This is a person who's wearing tissue boxes for slippers, who's got lengthy fingernails and just a beard, a big bushy beard, who sits in a room filled with like hoarder products, just stacked to the ceiling, shooting out those emails. That's what would come to mind.
A guy tweeted, or a person who's just trying to make the world a little better place.
A guy tweeted that daylight saving time should also be called Asperger Appreciation Day.
That is so true. Congratulations to Stacey Keibler. She got married over the weekend to Jared Probe, who is a tech entrepreneur. I guess that's a fancy way of saying rich geek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got married at sunset on the beach in Mexico. First marriage for both. Stacey tried to get George Clooney, of course, to bite, but he wouldn't. So,
hey, Lisa.
She's doing well.
If you're marrying a guy whose last name is Probe, do you take that last name?
I may be pronouncing that incorrectly because it's P-R-O-B-R-E. So, Probra, perhaps?
Probe. Boy, I don't know. They're both rough.
Probre?
Probre? It's no better.
Probre?
It's a bad last name. I'm sure she's keeping her name for professional reasons.
Right.
So she doesn't have to worry about that.
Because the cookies, right? Because she makes the cookies?
Is exactly.
That right? Yeah. They won't let her back in the tree.
She's not a Keebler elf.
She's a Keebler.
Pretty sure she is.
Have we ever done that phone topic, by the way, of women who just dread their husband's last name? You know, they're getting married and they just don't want to take it. They love their husband, but they just hate his name.
I think tons of women don't take the name.
Yeah, I don't think it's...
not that big a deal anymore.
I think they just go, nope.
Yeah.
Just move on.
Yeah, I don't think anybody cares anymore.
I think the vast majority of people do take their husband's last names, though.
I think the issue is when you have kids, it can be a little confusing. So that might... be a problem.
If they don't take their husband's last name, do you tweet them mercilessly and then punish them?
No, no. It's a completely up to
you. You should know that.
It's their choice.
This is weird and disturbing, and I don't like it, and I don't want it, and stop it.
Okay.
The news broke over the weekend that someone got their hands on a Johnny Carson sex tape.
That's not what you want.
The late Johnny Carson, for many years the host of The Tonight Show, pre-Jay Leno, pre-Jimmy Fallon. It is Johnny and his third wife, Joanna, apparently enjoying some action by the pool and then move into the bedroom for a 20-minute romp. Mm-hmm. And now the owner of that tape is trying to sell it to a private party to get it out there for public consumption. I don't want to see the Johnny Carson sex tape.
Yeah, I think I'm good without that as well.
We don't need that in our world.
Harvey said on TMZ over the weekend that Johnny Carson was surprisingly huge, too, by the way.
Not surprisingly. I'd always heard that about Johnny.
I never had.
Yeah, I heard Johnny was
How'd
packing.
How'd I miss that?
Yeah. Johnny was packing. But I still don't care. I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Now, is something specific about Johnny Carson? Or you're just not interested in any of those older stars? Because, you know, a couple of years ago, there was the Jimi Hendrix sex tape. I mean,
what's different? That's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I mean, that's Hendrix, you know? Johnny Carson was like a TV institution, late night, clean cut, guy next door, you know, icon. You don't need to think and see him in that light.
I'm fine without it, too.
All right. We voted. That's it. No, don't Johnny Carson sex tape. We passed our opinion. And speaking of sex tapes, K
Kim Kardashian in the news. She and Kanye West are getting married on the 24th of May. And details about the wedding are coming up.
We're going to hear about this every day between now and then, aren't we?
Yeah, pretty much. Kanye's micromanaging the whole wedding. Kim has been shut out of the meetings with the wedding planner.
She can't even give her opinion?
Like, apparently not. He has picked the entire guest list. She, however, gets to do seating, I guess. She gets to put people at tables. That's her little job.
Okay.
There may be a fashion show and a concert at the event in France. It's taking place in France. And they have confirmed that they will both be wearing crowns when they get married because they are American royalty.
What about leather jogging pants, though?
It does not say what they will be wearing, but I'm assuming Kanye will design her dress and his tux.
Crowns.
Yeah.
If they were doing that to be ironic, I'd be in.
They don't do anything. They don't. Right. They don't have enough self-awareness to be ironic. Just tragic. Hey, tonight at midnight on Comedy Central, the television program At Midnight, I'll be on there with my buddies Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes. The Smod Gang is going to infiltrate the Nerdist world. So come on out and watch us tonight on Comedy Central at midnight.
No.
Is it technically tonight, or is it tomorrow morning, really, if it's at midnight?
It would be tomorrow morning.
You just have to wait for my tweet to find out about that, what the proper version is to think.
Well, many of us have DirecTV, so it's on at 9, so there's no question it's tonight.
There you go.
There you go. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chuck Norris is 74 years old today. Shannon Tweed's 57. Sharon Stone is 56. Rick Rubin, legendary producer, is 51 years old. John Hamm. When's Mad Men coming back? I need that.
Very soon.
I need that right now.
Very soon. Within the next few weeks.
He is 43 years old. Robin Thicke is 37. Carrie Underwood celebrates her 31st birthday. Olivia Wilde is 30. And Danny Pudi is 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The late, great White Stripes. That song will live on forever just because every college football band, marching band, is going to be playing it midfield
true.
For the rest of time. Hey, last hour we announced some big news for you. Kevin Bean's April Foolishness 2014 is coming up on Saturday, April 5th. This is brand new information. You've not heard this yet before. It's going to be at the Shrine Auditorium this year. Our friend Jim Jeffries is on the bill. Also, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie F., Taylor Williamson, an unbelievable lineup of comedy. You can only get all these guys together on one stage for one night at our show, April Foolishness 2014, on April 5th. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon. Proceeds benefit the Fisher House and Cedar Sinai NICU. You get all the details at KRock.com.
I hear a lot of Bean. I don't hear a lot of LaQuisha.
Good point.
LaQuisha is on the phone right now. We've got her. Hi, LaQuisha.
Is that a problem in general with your show?
How dare you? I was trying to get the...
Not enough me.
LaQuisha, we just made this foolishness announcement this morning. I was just trying to make sure that we get the words out to the kids. That's all.
Oh, okay. You got all the time in the world to do that. I got like 2 minutes every week.
All right. I apologize.
You do it on your own goddamn time.
LaQuisha is here because...
Man, enough, you make me watch this show, and then I try to talk about it, and you're all blah, blah.
LaQuisha loves The Rich Kids of Beverly Hills,
she
which
does.
Airs Sunday nights. What? Where are we? What's going on in our show, LaQuisha?
Well, all the rich kids, they're getting jobs. The Wang girl, she got a job, and the Roxy girl, she got a job. So Big Nose, Big Boobs, thinks she got to get a job too, but she has no skills. But she does have a blog. She's got a blog called Boobs and Lubes.
Okay.
Which is about her big boobs and the fact that she likes Christian Louboutin shoes called Lubes.
Wow.
And so she writes about her life, which no one gives a goddamn about. But she has it, and so she says that's going to be my ticket to superstardom. So she's going to revamp this website, this blog that she's got, and that's going to be her career, is her blog. And she loves her blog. She got a picture of her on the blog that says pretty and funny. By the way, neither is true. So it's a lying blog.
I want to see the blog.
This is fancy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Funny and pretty.
Being pretty and funny are two very different things.
It's so cool.
I want to have a huge launch party for my blog, Boobs and Loops. It's my online diary that I share with the entire world.
She gives advice, too.
I do. A lot of boy advice.
Dear Sally, dear Joan. What was
yeah,
what,
no, it's dear Abby.
Oh, my God, you're the new age Abby.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't hate them more.
Now, she's going to throw a giant party for this blog that nobody reads at a big hotel and spend lots of money on rebooting a blog that no one knew what even was booted in the first place.
Right.
So she needs, of course, to be outfitted by a celebrity stylist who comes in and gives her all the latest fashions and jewelry to choose from to show up at her own party for. So a woman shows up with a truck. I'm not kidding you. A truck full of clothing and jewelry for her to try on to be at this party. And some of this stuff is so expensive. But that's okay because she's got daddy's credit card.
We have $250,000 worth of jewelry here.
This was a see-through pant.
I want that, and that sold. When you don't know what to get, you just buy it all.
That's right.
That's good advice. That's good advice for everybody, Lucretia.
That is. When you have to make a choice, don't make a choice. Just buy everything.
Buy it all.
Now, she throws this party for herself and her parents. The cause of all the problems, by the way, it goes back to how they raised this girl.
Right.
They walk in to the party to support their lazy, rich daughter. And here's the first words out of her mouth when she sees her parents.
Talk to me about my outfit. I look like a Kennedy, don't I?
Not really.
Don't I look like I could be the first lady?
Oh, that's it.
Oh, her parents want to go back in time and drown her.
Not really.
And she goes on and on about, look at my blog. She got a blog on a giant screen up on the wall there, and everybody's drinking. And she's trying so hard to impress her parents with her little achievement. It's like she did finger paint in kindergarten, and she wants a gold star on her forehead and for them to hang it on the fridge.
The Boobs and Loops relaunch, it's really important for me to kind of pull out all the stops and make sure it's an amazing event for everybody. I'm willing to spend $25,000 to $30,000 on this Boobs and Loops party because it's honestly the most important thing to me, and I wanted to see it do well. Just look at my blog. College wasn't such a waste of money.
College wasn't such a waste of money because she's now writing a blog.
Now, does she understand that anyone with an internet connection can put up a blog, right?
Mark, the Korean girl who does my nails has a blog. She called You Pick Color, it's called, and she just had a blog about doing nails.
See, but here's what they're missing is that because she's rich, it doesn't need to make money. So she can just say it's something and
but
go
ahead.
It
doesn't mean it's anything.
No, I agree.
I
agree.
Well, her mother's so thrilled at her daughter's achievements of having typed words into a computer that she is fawning all over her, and she's going to give her little girl a big kiss.
I'm so happy for you, and I'm proud of you, and you're just
I'm like crying.
So beautiful.
No, I don't want to get lip gloss on me.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, the mom goes in to kiss it. She pushes her away and says, no, I don't want me to get lip gloss on me.
Okay, fine.
There's love in that family. Love. So to celebrate, she goes on a trip to New York with her best friend, Dorothy Wang, and they go to New York because, you know, now she's a blogger. And that's what bloggers do. They go on vacation to New York. And Dorothy Wang decides that they have to do all the hip things in New York, including getting a cronut. You know the cronut,
sure.
Right? Everybody got to have the cronut. She goes to the bakery where they have the cronut.
We're here. Wait, there's not really a long line.
See, the hype is dwindling.
Oh, my God. After you.
They're upset because there isn't a longer line that they might be behind the trend already. The cronuts may not be fashionable enough for them to eat.
Oh, my God. After you.
But it turns out they're just late. If you don't get to this bakery early, you don't get the cronuts because they only make about 150 of them. If you're late, you snooze, you lose on the cronuts. Well, can you imagine these girls not getting something they want? Can you imagine how perplexed and confused they get by not being catered to? They are beside themselves with anger at this baker.
There's not one cronut somewhere. Can I make it?
Every day we sell out. Every day we have about 150 people outside because of that.
I have a question. Why don't you just make more? It's all about supply and demand. If the demand is here right now, you need to capitalize on it and make more.
Yeah, go make some more, because I'm here now. Go make more cronuts. These girls literally are confused by the idea that they want to purchase something that is not available to them.
Right.
Wang has the balls to say on television, She's not accustomed to hearing the word no ever.
In recent memory, I have not really been told no about something, especially if I'm trying to buy something. I haven't been told no.
They were really strict, too. We're very serious about
it. That would never happen in L.A. How is it that I can get a dozen Birkins and not two Cronuts?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
This is a show.
Yeah,
that you love.
Television.
Yeah,
which you enjoy.
People that are real people.
That
alive.
You love. Right.
They live.
Right.
They live.
Right.
They live.
LaQuisha, you already wanted to kill Whitey before this show came along, and now no one will blame you.
Man, it's not just Whitey anymore. It's one Whitey, one Asian, one the Persian. The whole world's going to hell.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to you next week.
I hate you.
Look, we've had a fun show today, but I feel like we're finally kicking it into high gear right now with our next guest, ladies and gentlemen. She is Ginger Meadows. She is a cam girl with MyFreeCams.com. She is Sophia Locke. She is also a cam girl with CamGirlMansion.com. Ladies, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Wonderful, thank you.
Pleasure to have you. We're going to talk about the Cam Girls documentary and bring your director into the conversation here in a few minutes. But let's get to meet you a little bit. First of all, do you guys know each other, or were you kind of thrown together because you're both in this documentary?
We knew each other before.
Yeah, I remember you came in my room one night, and it was just an instant camaraderie.
Exactly. I just get along with her very well.
Yeah. Okay. So people who may not be familiar with the term cam girls, let's bring those listeners up to speed with what it is you guys do for a living.
Basically, we stream a live video feed from wherever we choose, usually our homes, our bedrooms, and then viewers can log in and watch us. And if they like what they see, they can purchase private shows, they can tip towards public shows, they can buy our videos.
And it sounds like, for the right person, a great job. You get to set your own hours, you get to work at home. I mean, it seems like there are a ton of benefits to it.
It's the best job I've ever had. It's so freeing, and it's such a flexible job. It's amazing, and you can completely be yourself, and amazingly people pay you for that.
And you,
cool.
Do you work for yourselves?
Yes.
Yes.
You set
yes.
your own hours, you do whatever yep. you feel like doing. You don't feel like doing it, you don't do it.
We're our own boss.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
So how'd you get into it? Tell me how you got started, because I mean there are lots of people, you know, young people go, "Wow, I really got to make a living and all the jobs I'm qualified to do suck. They don't pay enough." Obviously, this one's not that. How did you even fall into it?
Well, I had a friend of a friend that was deployed in Iraq as a soldier, and we switched from interacting on social media to interacting over Skype, and those Skypes became adults, and it was a really fun experience, and I enjoyed, not to be a total narcissist, but I enjoyed seeing myself, and I liked seeing the reaction I would create in him. I decided I wanted to do
it. It's called an erection, by the way. Just, you know, so.
What's
that? Call her a reaction.
yeah, and then I decided to do it professionally. I thought about it for about 6 months, and then found the site, and it has just been a dream come true. It's incredible.
All right. And how about you, Sophia? How'd you get into it?
I always have had a really kind of high sex drive and was always an exhibitionist. And I just kind of took the plunge after being in the hospitality industry, and which I enjoyed. But it, the idea of being my own boss and creating my own hours and doing what I love to do and showing off was just, it was really fun and ended up being something that was successful.
Great Americans.
Great Americans indeed.
America.
All right. So here's the question I'm sure you get asked all the time, which is there's so much naked on the internet for free. How do you get people to pay to see you do anything?
That's the trick.
Yeah.
That's the interesting part, and that's where you have to be kind of creative and know how to promote yourself and stand apart from other people. I've done shows that are so bizarre and fun and just cater to my personality.
Like what? What would be a bizarre?
I got known for a while for playing the game Jenga, the one with a toppling wooden tower, and so people would pay me to play the game Jenga, and I actually built an entire city out of Jenga blocks with my guys' names on it that they paid to be a part of. Then I dressed as Godzilla and I destroyed it.
What? Wait a minute. So you all agreed on this ahead of time?
Oh, it was, yes, it was
you
wonderful.
You used Jenga blocks to build a city.
Yes.
And then you put more clothes on.
Correct. And then I ate a plane from the sky, and I had a cutout of Justin Bieber that I violated after. It was so much fun.
What's happening?
Is that scenario a turn-on? Is it a sexual turn-on for somebody, or is it somebody who just thinks it's hilarious and it's just fun for them?
I think a lot of it's just fun. I think a lot of it is getting to know the guys and them getting to know your personality, and it becomes a community. It really does. Yeah. It's just a
you
really
have regulars.
Fun thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. For years. And they're just wonderful guys that enjoy watching.
They're not all wonderful guys.
That's fair, but a lot of them okay. A lot of them are.
All right.
Now, do you know about them? Like, are they married guys, or is it everything?
It's everything. Single, divorced, widowed.
The Pope.
It just depends. I think the common factor that a lot of them have is loneliness, and they're seeking something in their lives, and whether it's companionship or sexual gratification or Godzilla.
Have either of you stripped for the Pope? Let's just get that out of the way.
I wouldn't heart.
I have it scheduled for this Wednesday.
Okay. So I'm sure they develop attachments toward you, some of them. Some of them probably tell you that they love you or that they're in love with you or they want to marry you. How do you handle that? How do you let them down but keep them coming back?
A lot of girls do have issues with that. My partner and significant other is such a huge part of my room, and they all know about him, and I think they like him more than they like me.
That's not the case. I can just be honest.
My boobs are nice. So. but I don't really actually get that a lot.
So wait a minute. So your boyfriend?
Yes.
Is in the room with you?
Well, not on camera.
I was going to say,
he's a member in the chat room.
Oh,
and so
I see
they get
what
to
you're
know
saying.
Him, and I think it makes it so that they know that I'm accessible, and they want to do things with me, which is lovely, but they also know that I'm not available for a romantic attachment.
Now, does your boyfriend, Sophia, does he ever get on camera with you? Can people pay to watch you two have sex?
When I first started, we did that, but then we found out that I made more money on my own.
What?
So it's just me. Yeah.
We are learning so much here. Now, we're going to take a break and come back and talk to the director of the Cam Girls documentary in a minute, but I wanted to ask you about this, Ginger, because you do something called the Girlfriend Experience. Tell me about that.
It's basically like a regular relationship. Sex is only a small percentage of that, and so I do mostly companionship. I would say 70% of my time I spend just talking, non-nude, hanging out, talking about their dog and what they did at work that day and what they had for lunch. And
are you typing or?
I'm talking live, and they can see me and hear me, and then they.
So it's like they're Skyping with their girlfriend.
Exactly, and for a lot of them, that's the only. I'm the only person asking them how their day was.
Oh.
And they're so sweet and they're so nice, but like you said, it's a blurry line between what's real and what's fantasy. And there has been a few clients that I've had to cut ties with because it became too intense for them or too real life. And
if you were a true girlfriend experience, you would yell at them to change their clothes and take a shower. You take a shower.
Do you set it up so that you can see them also?
If they pay extra or if we're in a private show, I'll watch their camera. You see some really interesting.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what do you see from that?
Well, the other day I had someone who was very flexible, and he...
Careful.
Yes, I'm working on it. He finished.
Happened.
We were just having fun.
I was just doing it to be a jerk.
Everything just went south.
We were having so much fun.
And the next day he messaged me and was so excited and loved it. And so, yeah.
That's all right. And broke up with you. I told you
he loved me. He loved it.
That is the voice of Ginger Meadows and also Sophia Locke here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are Cam Girls. If you are fascinated with this topic, as we obviously are, then you need to know about the Cam Girls documentary. We're going to tell you all about it. There's a Kickstarter movement underfoot right now to get this movie made. We're going to talk to the director, who's a legit director, by the way, a guy who's made some movies I've seen. And he'll join us in the conversation right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Cam Girls here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. But my question for you, Kevin, is why aren't we talking about Cam Girls every day on the Kevin and Bean
That's
Show?
A good question.
So much fun. Ginger Meadows is in here with us from MyFreeCams.com. Also, Sophia Locke from CamGirlMansion.com. Before we bring the director of the Cam Girls documentary into the conversation, I just wanted to ask, did you ever have any problem with telling people what you're doing for a living? Has there been any stigma toward you as a result of your occupation?
Absolutely. Yes, I have half my my family is completely not okay with it, and the other half has been very supportive. But it's,
you're awesome. They should love you for this.
Can you tell them?
Yes.
We'll tell them that, sure.
How about you, Ginger? What kind of reaction do you get from friends and family?
I'm really fortunate that my family is really open-minded and accepting. So it was, and honestly, I've been so comfortable with my sexuality for so long that it was no real shock. I have three brothers, so I had to tell them because boys like porn. And I didn't want them to stumble across my room on accident.
Yeah. Hey, sis, what's going on? Yeah. That's
so
gross.
It's just hard, though, to be so excited about this job and then to take it out and to meet people and tell them and to be treated so negatively because of what we do. It's very frustrating, and I think that people dehumanize.
Well, anyone who would be mean to you is no friend of ours. Let me just say that.
Thank you, boys.
The documentary is... Thank you, Kevin. Absolutely. The documentary is going to be called Cam Girls, and that's girls with a Z. You can go to Kickstarter.com and search for Cam Girls. Let's find out what the movie is all about with the director of the film, Sean, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Sean, how are you, man?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. You know, I mentioned before the break that you're a director who's legitimate. You've done things that I've seen. I saw your Insane Clown Posse documentary, and it was great, dude.
Yeah. That was called American Juggalo. That was a few years ago.
I guess, saw that.
I guess you could call me legitimate. I make films for the internet. I make films and release them to the internet. So.
Well, let's talk about what you're doing with Cam Girls and Kickstarter.com. What's your vision for this movie?
You know, my vision for this movie is to peel back the curtain a little bit. My last film was really heavy. My last film was about drug addiction. It was called Oxiana, and I spent 2 years thinking and talking about drug addiction and watching people die and insanity. And I wanted to take on a subject matter that wasn't so heavy and.
And you wanted to not have to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I do pay for these things myself. I don't know. That's a long story. But, yeah, basically, you're watching porn and these pop-ups come up. And, you know, you wonder, who are these, with these women who are in seemingly live situations in their bedroom? And you kind of, I just started to wonder one day, who are those people? Can I peel back the curtain on that a little bit? And what I found was something that was so fascinating and so mirrors what I do as a filmmaker. These women conceive, create, distribute, and market their own stuff, and I just think of them as businesswomen. I thought that was really fascinating in an unexpected place like the sex industry.
Now, we have Ginger and Sophia, who, of course, are going to be featured in your documentary. We have them in studio here, and they are lovely, and they seem well-adjusted, and they seem happy. I think a lot of people's perception is that these girls are sold into the slave trade, and they're miserable, and they're doing it with a gun to their head.
Yeah, and that might be an issue outside the U.S., but we really hadn't come across that in any of our research as something that's going on in this country. And, I wanted to make a film about business women, about freedom, not about sex trafficking. That's biting off more than I could ever chew with this kind of budget that we're trying to raise.
Now, you guys know other people that are in the industry. Does everybody seem to be as well adjusted? I'm sure there's a bad element to any group, but...
Sure. I have yet to meet someone who doesn't love our job as
really?
Much as we do. And there's a clear line. There's a clear line between exploitation and sex trafficking and empowered sex work, which is what we do.
Right.
I am fascinated to know, Sean, since this is Kickstarter, what are some of the incentives that you are offering for people to donate to Cam Girls?
Well, one of the big incentives is, I want to treat this Kickstarter not like we're out there begging for money on our hands and knees. This is a pre-sale. We're selling the movie on there. You could throw us $20, and the second it's finished, we'll email it to you. If you want to throw us $30, we'll send the soundtrack with it as well. And, you can go on the Kickstarter and take a look, but we have everything all the way up to people can join the team. You can be an executive producer on this film. We want to mix it up with people. We want to know their opinions. There's a reason we're going to the crowd for this as opposed to Hollywood, because Hollywood would never pay for a movie like this.
The girls were telling us some of the crazy stuff that they have happened with their clients. Sophia was telling us her Godzilla Jenga story. what kinds of things have you seen, Sean, that you've shot or read about already?
I've just seen so much creativity. I actually have a cam girl staying with me right now. We were doing some press this weekend, and her name's Ayla, and she does mime shows on the internet.
What?
She gets on there and in mime makeup and does that. And a lot of it's non-nude. It's
Wait, hold on. People. Hold yeah. on. Hold the phone. Hold on. You're saying that a girl goes on there and mimes?
Yeah, and she does really well doing it. It's unexpected. There was so much unexpected stuff when I started going around in this world, and that's what this film's trying to bring to fruition.
Ah, it's fascinating. And Ginger, you were telling us, I think you said it so well, that there's so much nudity on the internet that you need to give them something different. You're giving them a personalized experience that they can't get anywhere else. And that's where cam girls come in.
Right. I think with mainstream pornography, you're selecting a girl that is that you're attracted to, but she's already created those acts that she's engaging in. But with camming, you're choosing that same girl that you're attracted to, but now she's calling you by your name and she's conversing with you, and you know, it's a completely different interaction.
Sure,
experience.
Yeah. Sean, do you interview the guys who are paying to use the service in your documentary?
Well, you know, when we first approached the documentary, I thought to myself that I will never get, who would do this? Who would speak to us about their porn watching habits? And you know, we found some people that were more than glad to, and it was really interesting because I think that the girls even can learn something from what the power dynamic that these guys talk about, and they talk about the companionship and how, you know, these guys might just have a crappy schedule at work, and for that reason it doesn't really make sense for them to be out at bars meeting people or however people traditionally meet. So they use this as companionship. And you know what I thought was interesting is when I was interviewing some of the guys, they were likening it more to going to a pub that had a hot bartender than going to a strip club. So
right, interesting.
It's really interesting, the community aspect of it, and I think that's another thing that really drew me to the subject matter. That's, you know, stuff that I really like documenting.
Ginger and Sophia, you two, what percent would you say is for sex and what percent is for just companionship?
For my shows personally, I would say probably 80% of it is just me talking and being ridiculous and silly and kind of getting
it's
to know them.
Just having somebody to talk to.
It's mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll go an entire week without even showing.
Well, that's not right. You're not doing a very good job. Then.
Well, that's not going to happen when I dial in later today. I'll tell you that. There's going to be some boob. Good. That's going to be happening.
You're not very good at this.
All right. Well, let me give out the information again for people who would like to find out more about the Kickstarter campaign. Again, it's called Cam Girls, CAMGIRLZ, not S. And the Twitter account is CamGirlsDoc. And how are we in terms of where you're at money-wise right now? And what's your cutoff point, Sean?
We're doing okay. We're a week into it. I think we have like 3 more weeks left. We're trying to raise $65,000. And like I said, that won't be our full budget, but we're trying to raise that amount to not only make the film, but to distribute it. Like I said, we put these things out ourselves. So we're there. We're 10% there right now. Hopefully with everyone's help, we can make this film happen. I really want to see it happen. It's so cool.
And I do too. It's a fascinating topic. Kevin, you would so watch this documentary. I know I would.
I'm watching it right now. As we talk.
All right, Sean Dunn, thank you for joining us, and you know, have a nice day wherever you and Ayla are staying. I hope that's a lot of fun for you, buddy.
You and your mime.
Exactly. And Ginger and Sophia, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Was he messing with us that was a mime?
No, she's great, and she's a friend of ours and has gone to my event before and is amazing.
All right, good.
I need to start hanging out with you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie F., Taylor Williamson, Jim Jeffries, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin. Music by DJ Mike Realm in between acts. We're talking about Kevin DeBean's April Foolishness 2014. Just announced this morning here on the show. It is going to be Saturday, April the 5th at the Shrine Auditorium. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon. You can get all the details at KROQ.com. Once again, we're happy to be giving some money to Cedars-Sinai NICU and also to Fisher House this year. Great, great show. Very excited about that show. And it's coming up in less than a month. So buy your tickets Friday at noon. Hey, Ralph Garman.
I think fishermen could just buy their own bait.
It's Fisher House. Really Fisher House. No.
The Fisher House where they all hang out and they, you know, compare notes and flies and they get their hook sharpened
that's
and
not
stuff.
The, this is for families of wounded veterans. It's nothing to do with fishing at all.
I hate those fishers. It's nothing to do with fishers. They're always clogging the pier, the end there at Santa Monica, and you can't take your kids out there because they got their bait boxes.
That's not what we're talking about at all.
Fishers. I know what a fisher is.
Hey, speaking of comedy, how was your friend Billy Connolly on Saturday night?
Ralph was so looking forward to that.
I almost passed out twice because I could not inhale because I was laughing so hard. I was breathless. I could not catch my breath from laughing so hard. Just stamping my feet, just as if I was being tortured, begging somehow to stop from laughing. I tell you, I don't laugh harder at anybody than I do at that guy. And we just had a blast. What a great show it was Saturday night. Really, really entertaining.
So happy to hear that.
Lots of K-Rock listeners were there as well. Said hi to some folks, some very nice folks, and you know, because he comes around so rarely in town, his friends tend to show up for these shows. So there I am with Eric Idle and Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher, and it was just a star-studded audience. It was pretty amazing. Good time. Good time.
You're no Pat O'Brien that we have to wait this far into the show to hear the celebrities that you were hanging out with. Bastard.
Well, I wasn't hanging out with them. They were attending the same show I was. It was just when you looked around the room, you're like, wow, look at all the...
I'm saying to Pat O'Brien, that's hanging with them.
Oh, I see.
That's spending a lifetime with
them.
Yeah,
they're my friend, you know. My good friend Eric Idle, he was there. Eric and I sang Always Look on the Bright Side of Life together.
I doubt that.
Pretty good singer, by the way. Anyway, great, great night. And speaking of comedians, one of the funniest people in the world, Bob Saget's in the other room.
Yes,
just
he is.
Chatting with Bob. So... it's a very, very comedy-centric show we have here today. Another little comedy note tonight on Comedy Central. At midnight, the show that Chris Hardwick hosts so brilliantly, will feature myself and my buddies Kevin Smith and Jay Mewes. We're all going to be hanging out. So it's going to be the Smodco gang meets the Nerdist gang tonight.
You guys have beef?
There's a beef. Sure there's a beef. Okay. Like the Sharks and the Jets. You kidding me? two podcasting powerhouses crossing paths like that? Only one can survive, Kevin.
Wow.
It's like the Autobots versus the Murgatroyds, or whoever the bad guys were.
Decepticons?
Yeah, that's it, Decepticons. Yeah. All right, let's get to showbiz stuff. Hey, you want to go see the new Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Sabotage?
Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah, you come see me and Sam Worthington and Terrence Howard. You know, with the whole elite DAA task force, you know, fighting drug cartels.
Sure. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, March the 28th. You, my good friends, will get to see it before anybody else at our special K-Rock Advanced screening of Sabotage. Wednesday, March the 19th at LA Live. It's a cool place to see a movie down there, downtown, near the Staples Center. If you'd like to go, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through. We'll get a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced screening of Sabotage. That's how you have to say it, though. See, I'd like the tickets for Sabotage.
They have to do an
impression.
That's
how they have to do it in order to get their tickets. Can't wait to see that movie. Speaking of movies, it is Monday. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. 300, Rise of an Empire, happened to be number one this weekend. $45.1 million for number one. I thought because of baseball season, it was a 300 Rise of an Umpire.
No,
but it turns out
different.
It was very different.
Not
the case.
The same at all.
Mr. Peabody and Sherman, in its debut, came in at number two, $32.5 million. Nonstop, The Lego Movie, and Son of God were your top five movies. The Monuments Men, 3 Days to Kill, Frozen, 12 Years a Slave, and Ride Along, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Sharknado 2, the second one. Here's an air date. We know when we're going to see it now.
Oh, fantastic.
The sci-fi sequel will premiere Thursday, July the 31st. Of course, Ian Ziering and Tara Reid will return to reprise their roles of the guy and the girl in Sharknado.
Whoever they are and whatever they did.
Vivica Fox will be co-starring this time along with Judd Hirsch. And I didn't even know these people were going to be in it, but now I'm in. I was on the fence because, you know, I feel about sequels. But now that I know that Peppa of Salt in Peppa is going to be in it, and Biz Markie also has a role, now I'm watching. Because Biz, you may know him mainly as a rapper, but as an actor, nobody's better than Biz. They call him Show Biz. That's how good he is. That's where the name comes from.
I don't think Show
Biz
comes
from Biz Markie.
I don't think that's
true.
He's
just that good. Biz Markie. Has anyone tested him recently?
You mean to see if he's alive?
No, to see what's going on. Can you show me an ink blot or something? Just check him out. Something's wrong. I saw him at the Yo Gabba Gabba concert, and he came out on stage because he's part of that show.
Yeah?
I don't know whether he was drinking or on goofballs or something, but his pants were falling down. It's like a kid show, and everybody was very nervous. We didn't know what the hell was going on. Hey, kids! It's me, Biz! Jeez.
It's Bobcat Gold.
Or Barney from The Simpsons. I wasn't sure what was happening. We're all very disturbed. Kris Jenner thinks that she got a raw deal as a talk show host. She thinks she's got another shot in her.
Oh, great.
Shot of Botox in her, maybe. She's campaigning to get more guest shots on E! On the E! News. They put her on there because, you know, she's got the Kardashian show on there. They have to. But she thinks that her talk show, even though it was canceled, got a raw deal, and America still wants to see more of her.
How did it... how did it get a raw deal? She was on TV.
Yeah, and America said, no, thank you, right. And you went away.
That is how deals work.
There must be some mistake, she's thinking. People don't. Maybe the people know it's me.
Oh.
I'm Kris Jenner. So she's campaigning for more time over there on E! E! needs some work, by the way. Because every show they have a commercial for on E! Is like, and the return of our huge hit show, Bill and Jane. There was some show they were advertising last night during the rich kids of Instagram.
That you never heard of before?
No, I didn't know who these people were, but that is the second season of our hit show. They're like, Steve and Alice, this time they're having a baby. You're like, who are they? What? I didn't even know they were married. Why are you telling me this?
And you're a person who pays attention to TV.
I know stuff about television. It could not have been that much of a hit show.
Now, this isn't the show that features their personality, the one who had the breast cancer, married to a guy from The Apprentice. That's not them?
I know Bill Rancic and Juliana.
Okay, this is a different show than that. Even.
I know them. I would recognize them. This is a show, literally, I have no idea who these people were. It was like Steve and Jenny or something, and they were two very attractive people.
And it was described as a hit show?
Are the return of our hit show, Jenny and Phil. Now she's going to have a break. Well, Jenny's pregnant. What will happen? How will Phil react when he sees the sonogram? Like, who are these people? How dare you call it a hit? Troubles over there, D. Something's going on. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Olivia Wilde, she's 30 years old.
Right.
Yeah. Easy. Bill's had a tune-up over the weekend. Carrie Underwood's 31. Matt Asty, bassist of MGMT, is 34 years old. Danny Pudi from Community, 35 years old. Robin Thicke celebrates his 37th birthday. Timbaland is 42. John Hamm, the madman himself, 43 years old.
He's ridiculously dreamy.
He's the best. Talented, dreamy.
Hilarious.
Packing.
Yeah.
Rick Rubin's 51 years old. Jeff Ament of Pearl Jam is 51. Sharon Stone turns 56 years old today. Shannon Tweed, better half of Gene Simmons, is 57 years old. And actor Chuck Norris. Why isn't he in Sabotage with Schwarzenegger? That's what I want to see. Those two
right?
guys.
Are okay.
We're not going to need to play that every time we say the title of a movie, are we? Chuck Norris is 74 years old today. Or 74 is Chuck Norris.
Right?
More
nice.
Importantly.
Boom.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Bob Saget.
Hey, how are you guys?
We are good. Good to see you, buddy.
I'm really happy to see you. I'm always happy to be here. You're like friends.
Now, I know we got a lot of ground to cover here. You got the book coming out. You're playing at the Club Nokia this Friday night. Tickets are on sale now.
Next Friday night.
I'm sorry. 21st. My bad.
But you're going to be there no matter what night it is.
Sure. Friday, March 21st, 9 o'clock, Club Nokia. Bob Saget on stage. The Dirty Daddy Tour. That scares me, the name of that.
That's the name of the book, so we decided to go branding.
Tickets are available at bobsaget.com for just $30. See the great Bob Saget in person and on stage. What did you think of listening on the way in, as I'm sure you were?
Yes.
Kevin Bean's April Foolishness 2014 lineup as a veteran of that show.
It's fantastic. I mean,
great lineup, right?
Every single person. Some of them were at the one that I did last year. Was it last year?
Yeah, we mix and match a little bit. I think you were on a couple
2 years ago.
Two years ago.
And you have Marc Maron. It's a wonderful lineup.
It's a fun night, right?
Yeah.
For the people who have never been to April Foolishness before, seriously, tell them it's a fun night.
It's actually a perfect night. It should sell out.
Yeah.
And it's at the Shrine, which there's going to be wrestling right before it. Which is,
I'm not positive if that's true, but we'll check.
You're legally allowed to hit a man with a rubber folding chair.
Tickets are on sale Friday at noon. No Bob Saget this year, but he'll be back. Jeffries, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin. We got Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie Eft, and the hilarious Taylor Williamson. It's a great, great lineup. And again, Friday at noon. If
and
you
all
buy
proceeds go to...
this year, they're going to the Fisher House and Cedarside NICU. Yeah.
See, that's pretty darn great. All my proceeds just go to nothing.
Well, they go to Bob Saget.
They go to my children.
Habit.
No, it's not a habit.
Well,
God, I don't even know people that... Let's not go there. But anyway, how about those cam girls? My gosh. I took a picture with them and I went, oh no, this is going to go everywhere.
Yeah.
They're very nice.
They were very nice.
Yeah, you would never know that, except I do because I'm on there so much.
Right.
But,
are you a regular of one of them?
Well, I have my own room.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I just go in there and people around the city just talk to me. Cleaning supplies and stuff.
I would pay to chat with them. They're delightful young women.
But what would you pay to chat with Bob?
No. Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
I know you're doing, you call it the Dirty Daddy Tour, a
right,
week from Friday at Club Nokia, and you said that's because that's what the book is called. Why is your book called Dirty Daddy?
Well, the book is always been this, I guess you'd call it a bipolar world, as you guys have known me, as the guy that people know as a father from television, and then I'm also a bit comedically bent. So
right,
it's the conflict of interest. The byline of it is the chronicles of a family man turned filthy comedian. So
I see.
It's kind of, it is, they said, is it memoirs? Is it biography? And I was like, I don't know, because I didn't
is
think.
Is it your story?
It kind of is. It has stories in it. It's about people that passed away and how comedy came out of it. It's like gallows humor. So it's about, as far as show business goes, it's about people
well,
that.
Well, if you didn't laugh at death, you'd be dead. Because
that's actually true. And,
yeah,
and
that's been your whole life.
It really, we've had a lot of it, our family. In fact, there's so many that have had it that I can't even say we anymore. It's just
but
me.
Why is it, why is it that the wrong one always dies, Bob? Why are you still here and the good ones
that's
are gone?
That's what they all say. That's their last words. Why couldn't it have been you? But it's hilarious. But
it does sound funny. So not only is it about your dead family members,
well,
it's about your dead friends like Rodney Dangerfield and Don Rickles, or I guess he's
Don,
still alive.
He's
but
way alive. I just talked
alive
to him last week.
Rodney Dangerfield, though, and Richard Pryor, people like that, right?
Yeah, people that I got fortunate enough to work with and know. And
you're like the Grim Reaper.
That's what I am. So I'm here to help you guys cross over.
Thanks.
I touched the cam girl's hand and her eyes turned to blue. She iced over. It was like frozen. I didn't see Frozen. Is it good?
I hear it's really good.
Yeah, okay.
I have not seen it either.
We have talked to so many people who have written books and had no idea what to expect about how difficult the process is. You think it's going to be easy, especially a guy like you who's a professional communicator who can do 2 hours on stage. You think it's going to be easy to sit down and write a book. It's not, right?
It's really – have you written a book?
No, I barely read a book.
I barely read a book, and it's mine. And it took a year and a half, and it's from It Books, from HarperCollins, which is the It Books is the, you know, the patina. I don't know what it is. It's a subsidiary. Oh, it's an imprint, they call
it. An
them.
Imprint, yes.
So, and this, I'm very proud of it because I wrote it. So I just went from, it was like, you ever see Adaptation?
Yes.
Of course, so yeah, it was the Nick Cage movie, yeah.
It was like that. I'd be going from the laptop on my crotch, and it was like, warming up my crotch and cauterizing my lower parts. And
what?
Yeah, that's what happens if you leave a laptop with an old hard drive on it. It'll do.
Bob's testicles have fused together. He just has the one now, Kevin.
That's true. It's one
but
giant.
But they have those little
it's a touchpad
pillow things that you can put in your lap.
Who wants that?
Well, I'm just saying.
No, it's biblical.
If you want separate balls, you want that.
I had the burning bush. I took off my shoes because I was on hollowed ground when I wrote. And then
have to get, I don't want to say a permission, but did you run any of the show business stories by the people involved so that you would not embarrass or lose friends?
The ones that were living, yes. It's not a tell-all book. It's not that kind of book. There's a chapter called Relationships I'd Rather Not Talk About.
Uh-huh.
And it's really just about me and all the relationships that don't seem to work and how they work and what's good and what's not. You guys know. You've known me for so many years. You've just seen me
sure
in
fail
a couple failed miserably. I mean, my next relationship is cam girls. And then it's also, there's another chapter called Things I Shouldn't Have Done.
Good.
And then it gets serious because I lost a couple of sisters. So there's serious stuff in it, and yet there's some real sick comedy throughout it. There's a chapter on the Aristocrats and Entourage and The Roast and things that were real meaningful to me that made me.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Kind of morphed me.
Now, I
would suspect stand-up is a friend.
I would suspect that you've seen Stamos do a lot of unprintable things that you couldn't put in the book.
They're in there, and there's a problem. In fact, I was going to call a chapter just Stamos.
Yeah.
And then the editor said, really? Because it's just like too much already. But he is one of my, he's like a brother to me. And so is Dave Coulier. We are, can't even say his name without laughing. Just his name alone just sounds so cute. but John and I did a bunch of stuff that's in there. There's a story I shouldn't talk about.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so it was right before Craig Ferguson took over the Late Late Show.
Okay.
And I was the last guest host when they had revolving guest hosts. And John told the story. He said, I'm going to tell the story when we did Whippets. I went, what? You can't tell that. But we didn't really. What happened was we were doing the show Full House, which is a sitcom I was on.
Yes.
And
nice family show.
It's a great family show. And we had a lot of downtime, the three older guys on the show. And it was Michelle, the character's birthday party. And they needed whipped cream for her birthday cake. And where do you get whipped cream? You know, from a can of whipped cream.
Sure.
Lisa's giving me looks right now. She can tell this is not
going. We all know where this is going.
Well, it's in the book. Maybe I don't have to tell. So the whipped cream cans were in the prop room, and right. I just locked the door. And I think I was going through some kind of crisis. I can't remember. My midlife crisis is like 45 years on either side of 50. And so there were like six whipped cream cans that have a little jettison of whatever's in there, which is really bad for you.
Right.
Nitrous
don't do
oxide,
this.
You don't do it.
Right.
Don't do
bad.
This, kids.
You really don't. And that I say that many times in capitals, but it should be also in italics. And we inhaled a couple of we got rid of the nitrous from
right.
the whipped cream cans, and then they went to celebrate Michelle's birthday party, and there was no whipped cream to come out of the cans. So they couldn't celebrate. They had to go to the stage next door to get Cool Whip.
Oh.
And it was just a soggy, poor Michelle's birthday.
And it's something Bob can't ingest.
That's I can't. Cool Whip, it's a non-dairy. I really prefer. I use the Ready Whip when I've got the cam girls calling.
Did you come out of the closet, though? And I don't mean did you come out of the closet, but did you guys leave the closet with the whipped cream and talk like this because you were sucking up all the nitrous oxide?
Well, actually, nitrous doesn't do that. That's why
that's helium.
Well,
that's
I like
helium.
To slap it back with some helium as well.
Sure.
And then do a shot
a
of water.
Helium chaser.
Nice yeah, you have to. You have to do all four. Kids, don't do any of
this. Don't
do
this stuff.
Not unless you're a really grown-up adult and have no life whatsoever.
The book is called Dirty Daddy, The Chronicles of a Family Man Turned Filthy Comedian. It's coming out. It's available for pre-order, by the way, right now at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or all fine retailers, coming out on April the 8th. You can see the Dirty Daddy Tour 1 week from Friday night at Club Nokia. Bob Saget on stage, and Bob Saget with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more after this on K-Rock. Showbiz legend Bob Saget in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Dirty Daddy Tour is going to be at Club Nokia 1 week from Friday night at 8:30. You can get tickets at bobsaget.com, or you can call the Kevin and Bean Show right now and win a couple of pairs at 1-800-520-1067. See, Bob, we're giving away tickets to your show.
You
That's money
are,
we're taking out of your pocket right now.
I don't mind it, because anything that goes into my pocket feels good.
All right.
And so if you guys have to reach in. And my buddy, I wanted to mention my buddy Mike Young, who's just directed a movie with Stamos in it and Michael Rapaport called My Man is a Loser. Mike Young is the opening act, feature act for that night.
So get there early Club enough Nokia. To see Mike Young.
Yeah, don't come in fast. You'll be late, because it's a nice place, that Club Nokia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
It's really nice. They have, if people drink, there's alcohol there.
Right.
Then I think there's food there as well.
You had me at alcohol.
Yeah. So I'm glad you're not in the program. So I'm glad I updated yourself.
Hey, Bob, you were on, you with your Full House Grown Ups did a Super Bowl ad this year for some yogurt.
Yes,
and
we did.
It occurred to me as I saw that, A, you're aging so poorly, but B,
why, it's not yogurt.
Why aren't you on, why aren't you on the TV anymore? Any interest in being back on the TV, or is the live stand up and writing books, is that enough for you?
No, there's actually, yes.
Huh?
Is that an answer?
Yes or no?
There's a couple things right now that I will be weighing. The cam girls. No, there's a couple. There's a show thing that I can't. It's silly to talk about it until it's happening.
Okay.
But there's a thing that there's two things.
Are you writing any of them, or are you just being asked to carry them on your
one,
giant
it doesn't
shoulders?
Require writing because it's that good.
Okay.
And then, the other is a written thing that I'm waiting. And then there's a directing thing also.
Wow.
So it's a lot of stuff.
By the way, with that much detail, I could claim all of those three things, too.
Yeah, that's what everybody in this town does.
Yeah. Well, I got a thing.
I'm not opening a restaurant.
It's a writing thing and a directing thing.
And we do physical
thing.
And we do aerobics.
Right.
No, yeah, I want to be in front of the camera.
Again.
I want to be in front of your camera. No, I've got things that we're working on. I just don't want to say what they are because it's stupid because
right.
it's
no,
not
I understand.
Going on.
But you wouldn't be interested in, I mean,
yes.
we talk about the dichotomy between your family sitcom and the real life Bob Saget. You wouldn't be interested in doing something, a family sitcom again, though. You'd want to do something a little edgier.
If
like the stuff you do, like Entourage and Louie and things like that, is more to your speed today.
I think something in the middle would be interesting, which is kind of what we're talking about, which is someone that has a little bit of a guy that's bent, but he also he's a family guy. I mean, if you've got kids, you don't walk around cursing at them, or you don't walk around all
hallmarky. Who plays that guy?
It would be me, just playing both with a pirate hook. Just come out all Johnny Depp and go ahead. Sorry.
Being devastatingly attractive and famous and very wealthy.
But enough about yourself.
You have your pick of the ladies.
Oh, my.
How are you? We all know that. How
no,
are you?
No, no, no.
How are you handling how old you are now versus how young the women are that you're attracted to?
Man, oh man, do you know the questions?
Wow. Do you, my question is, do you have a cutoff? Like, have you instilled an arbitrary cutoff now? Like, you're not going to date anyone under fill in the blank 28, that's 30, it, whatever
that's,
it is.
That's 18. Something I've been dealing with. The cutoff is that I've been circumcised. That's just a joke, and that's okay.
All right.
It's the act that dare not speak its name.
No, this is that's a legitimate question because Bob could date a 19-year-old, but
I can't
should Bob date a 19-year-old?
That's correct. Ethically, my lady friends, when I say lady, friends that are women, like
right.
Lisa, smart women that I talked to. I was on with a dear friend last night who's about my age, and we were talking about this very subject,
mm-hmm.
and we were both naked and what? In different homes. But I,
what's the youngest in the last 10 years? What's the youngest, for reals,
that Bob you've Mitzvah. Dated? No.
The youngest age of a girl.
Well, legal.
You don't have the name. Yes.
Well,
so 18?
Did you say 10 years?
In the last 10 years.
No, no, no. Everybody was in double digits by that point. Now, I have not gone under
You know, 18 is double digits.
Yeah, nothing on the – no swing set action.
All right.
Nothing.
So, but I want to hear, you were discussing this with a friend, and
right.
what was sort of the resolution?
You're supposed to add 7 to whatever, 7
Oh, yeah, there is a formula. It's like you add 7 to half your age, right?
That's what it's supposed to be, but that's at the point now where my age is up there, so it's like I don't carry the 1. I don't do the new math.
Bob, could you be attracted to a 40-year-old?
Absolutely.
Would you date a 40-year-old?
Possibly. Yeah, of course. I'm not into dating that much. I like to meet people, but this whole dating thing, like I tried it. I sound like I'm on some bad reality show right now, but you know, you're having salads and someone says, you know, do you want to have kids? It's like, I don't know. I was thinking of beets, you know, it's a really complicated thing because everybody does not want to waste their time.
Right.
You don't want to go out with somebody. It's really, I'm just trying to meet somebody I would have a good time with. I'm not trying to. Anyway, I'm real busy, which is kind of what I do.
So you don't want a relationship. You don't want a relationship. You're just looking for somebody to, quote unquote, have fun with.
You know, I do not know because I was looking for a relationship.
We're not trying to bring you down.
No, I'm honestly. Down already.
Okay.
I came in down.
You can't depress Bob.
No, I'm double.
Bob's already as depressed as he can be.
I'm doubling down. And with a relationship, I'm all in. But, is it? It's, I'm all in.
Yeah, all
are
in.
You sure? No, I would have a relationship for sure if it was someone that I could relate to. That's why I got your number, Kevin.
Mm.
I really,
okay, but you say that, yet you would not date a 40-year-old who is the person you'd be most likely. Okay, you did.
I said I would date a 40-year-old.
But you haven't.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Really?
Well, a long time ago. Many in a galaxy far away.
This is evasive.
I dated Chewbacca. it's not invasive. It's cool. I should be dating a 40-year-old, but her niece comes by and then says, what a
looks
big
so
fan.
Much better than she does.
No, she doesn't look better. She just is such a bigger fan.
You want to go for the easy fan thing?
I'd like to meet an equal, but I usually meet women much smarter than me.
Bob, have you ever dated? I'm so fascinated with a single
marsupial?
Rich, good-looking man like Bob Saget.
Wait,
what his life would be?
How
like.
Are you fluffing me like this? I've never even.
No, I'm fascinated.
Single,
I'm really
good-looking.
The setup.
I'm not being mean here. I'm genuinely interested. When I asked the question about
right.
the dating, I was genuinely interested in the age thing because I don't know how I would handle that. Look, if I were suddenly single right now,
right.
would I date a 25-year-old even if I could? I don't think I would.
You
I think
would,
that would
nail
be,
everything that wasn't.
I think that would be
might.
Boring for me.
You might.
Is what
if there's
saying.
A hurricane, everything that's not battened down, you're going to be
But
be
let
in
me
the
ask
cellar.
You this question, Bob. Have you dated anyone in the last few years who doesn't know who you are?
Yes, but those were people that I was in serious relationships with. They didn't understand me at all. I have had flings, I guess, or you would call it an affair
sure.
by the old school
Short
term.
Short relationships.
An affair to remember.
Sure.
By someone that was infatuated with who they thought I was. And then, of course, the bloom's off the rose and they find out who I am and then
right.
they run. They,
but
they,
I
go,
mean,
they go to immigration.
But I mean, have you dated anyone who doesn't know you as Bob Saget, the celebrity, just knows you as that guy that I met at the supermarket? You know what I mean?
That I'm going to many supermarkets because
you're rich.
No, I'm just no because people follow me to my car and then we have our way with each other.
What a weird life you have.
It's interesting. I don't know
because you get some of the perks of being famous, but it's also kind of a pain in the ass
at times. I have a life and I have kids and I have friends that I care about. I'm not out there looking for it because I'm tired of that weird behavior. I'm not a predator unless I feel comfortable.
Okay,
and
good.
So, Kevin, I feel really comfortable with you.
I'm not happy with this.
Just saying, I want you to be a cam guy. And you can be my cam girl. Bean, to answer your question, I would like to have... This is so funny. You guys have always done this.
What have we always done?
You've always gotten to the core of where I'm at that moment. And it usually has to do with, why don't you have a relationship?
Well...
And it's always been the same question, which means I must be old a long time. Which is, would you date someone who is, you know, out of school? And the...
Someone who's age appropriate. If you're interested in a real relationship, somebody who's age appropriate makes the most sense. That's the only reason.
Well, does your wife have a friend who, if I was up in Seattle, does your wife have a friend who has a daughter that seems cool?
ladies and gentlemen,
is there a teacher?
Bob, you need to come back when the book is out and we've had a chance to read it, because we are going to have many questions for you.
I love that because you'll know me even better and you'll have all the answers.
The book is called
Dirty Daddy, The Chronicles of a Family Man Turned Filthy Comedian. It is available for pre-order right now. It's coming out right around the corner on April 8th. You can see Bob Saget on stage a week from Friday night at the Club Nokia. You'll have a great time with his friend Mike Young opening up. Go to bobsaget.com or axs.com. Just $30. Hey, try not to kill anybody on the way out of here, Bob, but thanks so much for coming in.
It's not my vehicle, so I'll be safe.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:44.
We got time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. It's Ralph Garman time. What's going on, Ralph?
I was talking about the show on E! That they said was a huge hit. It's coming back for its second season.
Bill and Sherry?
Yeah, I was finally set straight by
Dave and Sugar.
Some of our listeners. Thanks so much for giving me the heads up. It's Eric and Jessica.
Sure. Oh, they're the best.
Eric and Jessica on E!
I'm a fan of
the smash hit show, Eric and Jessica.
Is that Jessica Simpson and her football boyfriend?
Nope.
It's not.
It's a football guy, Eric Decker, from the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
Wide receiver for the Broncos. And his wife, Jessica James, who apparently is a country singer.
Okay.
Country music star.
And they are Eric and Jessica, the smash hit show on E!
If either one of them.
It's back, though. Season 2 of Eric and Jessica is now on E! Kill yourself, E! That's what we're saying. Everyone who works there, just jump out the windows. I just want to see bodies all over Wilshire Boulevard because you're doing Satan's work.
That's probably a Ryan Seacrest production, by the way.
Even more of a reason. You're working for the devil. Eric and Jessica. Come on.
Hit series.
Hit. The hit.
That's right.
Return of our hit. The hit is back. Only this time, Jessica's got a baby. And Eric is playing football. Come on.
Still.
Not everything's a hit. Just say your show's coming. You don't have to lie to us. Tell us it's a hit like we watched it. Eric and Jessica.
Hey, Ralph, speaking of hits.
Just keep on coming.
Your friend Seth MacFarlane debuted his new Cosmos last night.
He sure did.
I don't know if you had a chance to see it or not. It was very good.
Of course I did.
Apparently big numbers. Apparently did well. I mean, it's such a bizarre show to be on network TV in primetime, a show about science.
But they do it in a very entertaining, palatable way. I don't know if you watched it at all, but it's
I did. I
didn't see it because there was a Kings game on, but it's I taped it.
It's got animation, and it's funny, and it's fast-paced, and it's clever, and it teaches you a thing or two.
I don't want that.
No, I knew you wouldn't enjoy it, Kevin, but some other people who enjoy things like knowledge and facts and things, they
got
would be
no
interested.
Room for either of those.
I know you're busy watching Eric and Jessica.
That's right, my favorite
show. See what their kid looks like with the sonogram.
Space is stupid.
You're so stupid. Who cares? What does it matter to me, space? I'll never be space. I want to go party bus movies loud.
I hate stars.
Who cares about how the world works? I have vodka Red Bull and loud movie party bus. Go.
Ralph, I think tomorrow we're going to need to take some time to describe Muggs when he drinks.
Oh, freaking Muggs. I thought I couldn't hate him anymore. I thought I had to. There had to be a limit to my hatred. And then I had to deal with him. I'm drinking tequila. All right, great.
Bean, I can't wait to tell you.
I think I may switch to beer.
Like, yeah, but please give me an up-to-date, constant recap of your drinking strategy, Beer Mug, all night long. I'm dying to know how you're going to manage your alcohol consumption.
This was Friday night at Morongo Casino. We had our blackjack tournament. And when Muggs drinks, he will talk to anybody.
About anything, apparently.
For an endless amount of time.
And then he'll bring that person over that he's talking to you and insert them into your life.
Yeah, that's true.
He'll make his problems your problems somehow.
He's never had the thought, hey, I wish I wasn't in this conversation.
Hey, Ralph, this guy's a Vietnam War vet. Okay. Where am I supposed to go from there?
Thank you for your service,
sir. 3 hours in traffic to get there. I got to deal with your drunk ass.
Screw all the haters and what they say.
Well, the haters are right. All right, let me give stuff away.
All right.
The only thing that makes me happy anymore is giving things away. You know, I love the Paley Fest.
Yes, you do.
It's our time of year. Paley Fest 2014 is in full swing. March 13th through the 28th. The good people at the Paley Center, which of course used to be the Museum of Television and Radio, they do an amazing event, series of events, where they get together your casts and creative teams of some of your favorite shows, and you get to spend the evening with them and hear the stories and ask questions. If you're a TV geek, it just doesn't get any better than Paley Fest. For full details and tickets, you can go to paleycenter.org. Or if you'd like to see the cast and creative team behind a little television show called Orange is the New Black.
Dude. That is awesome.
On March the 14th, you can call in right now, 1-800-520-1067. Since it's March the 14th, 14th caller.
Oh.
We'll get an evening with Orange is the New Black.
That is amazing.
It is amazing. It's going to be a good time. So call in now and enjoy.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
I'm going all night. All right, Beer Mug. That's great to know.
Pete, I knew that Muggs was in that mood, and I knew it would annoy Ralph because he had sat in traffic for 3.5 hours to get down there.
Look, it would have annoyed me if I took a helicopter there. It doesn't matter. I just...
So I brought Muggs over to Ralph knowing that it would annoy him, not knowing that Muggs would never unhook from Ralph the entire night.
Let me tell you how you should play blackjack tournament style. It's all different.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Here, get me.
Right. It is Monday. That means if you look at the top 10 movies at the box office, 300 Rise of an Empire, $45.1 million. Made number one at the box office. Peabody and Sherman did very well at number two with $32.5 million. Then Nonstop, The Lego Movie, and Son of God were your top five movies. The Monuments Men, 3 Days to Kill, Frozen, 12 Years a Slave, and Ride Along were your top 10 movies at the box office. Trouble in Paradise when it comes to Kanye and Kim's wedding. We know it's the 24th of May is the date. We know it'll be held in France. We know they'll be wearing crowns as they
that sounds like a joke.
Sure, as they get married.
That sounds like a joke, though. It isn't?
No.
It's for reals.
We know there'll probably be a fashion show and concert.
Okay.
In the wedding. What we don't know is who Kanye's best man's going to be.
Oh, he doesn't seem to have any friends.
Well, rumor has it he wanted Jay-Z to be his best man.
Because he's a big star.
Right. But Jay-Z turned him down. Because the idea of appearing on Keeping Up with the Kardashians is said to terrify and mortify Beyonce. And she will not lower her standards by being on that television program.
Completely legit.
Absolutely. And good for her for saying no. So, word is, Kanye's having a hard time finding a best man.
Really just himself. That's all he's got, so.
He should have him.
Yeah.
Just a mirror.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. With creative genius written on it.
Just get somebody
who... extra crown.
Get somebody who is the same body type as Kanye and have him wear his mask from the Yeezus tour.
Perfect.
He could be his own best man.
Yeezus. Like best man Yeezus. Those peoples. Kardashian clan just seems like everything they do is horrible, right?
Yeah.
There's no redeeming qualities.
Correct.
Fox has announced 4 TV series that'll be bringing back. Next fall, Andy Samberg's Brooklyn Nine-Nine's coming back. Boy, I love the heck out of that show.
Me too.
Laughs out loud every week. The Mindy Project is coming back. New Girl will be back. And The Following also has been renewed. This is added to the shows Fox has already given renewals for, like Glee for a 6th season.
There was a 5th?
Yeah. Sleepy Hollow.
Really?
And Bones is coming back for its 10th season. I like all those shows. Not a lot of luck.
Nope.
All right. Fair enough.
I'm trying not to say negative things.
Good for you. You like Bones?
I love Bones.
I did too, but I have no problem with
Sleepy Hollow. Sleepy Hollow's good. You don't like Sleepy Hollow? Why?
Just bored me.
Enough for you?
Bored me.
Speaking of loud, Connecticut could become the first state in the union to curb loud movie theaters. What's Kevin going to do?
Seriously.
Not see a movie in Connecticut, that's for sure.
300, Rise of an Empire, was great.
Because it was loud.
The special effects were great, and it was effing loud.
It was a loud movie. I like loud movies.
I do.
That's not a joke. That's not me doing my little wacky Kevin character. Kevin said the words out loud. I like loud movies.
I do. It makes a difference. When we went outside of the Staples Center for the Democratic National Convention and Rage Against the Machine played, they had a limit on the sound that they could turn up, and it was crappy because you need it loud. Come on, Ralph, you could buy that.
But comparing a rock band's volume to a movie's volume, they're apples and oranges.
No, it's the entertainment value. It's you want to feel the music. It made it so good. Why would they say that? What's wrong with them? Loud is good. I'm standing by that.
Apparently, it's the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health that says the noise should be kept below 85 decibels.
Stupid, dumb, absurd.
For workers who work in the theater as well as audiences, the American Tinnitus Association says that hearing damage can be caused by sounds over 85 decibels.
Okay, loud.
Yeah. 85 decibels is the sound of average traffic, they say, and that's plenty loud for any movie.
It's ridiculous.
Just saying, it doesn't have to be loud to be good.
It does.
No, but it doesn't. Look, if all you see are your kinds of films, then I guess you do need, but I don't need Blue Jasmine playing at 90 decibels.
Well, I didn't see that movie.
Of course you didn't. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chuck Norris is 74 years old today. Actress Shannon Tweed is 57. Sharon Stone turns 56. Rick Rubin is 51. John Hamm, 43 years old. Robin Thicke is 37. Danny Pudi is 35 years old. Matt Asti of MGMT is 34, the bassist for that band. Carrie Underwood's 31. Olivia Wilde turns 30. And actress Emily Osment celebrates her 22nd birthday today. She does a bunch of voices on Family Guy. Very, very entertaining, very lovely young lady. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. I made the announcement earlier this morning of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014, April 5th. It's a Saturday night. Jim Jefferies, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie Ift. And tomorrow we have Taylor Williamson in the studio.
Oh, love him.
Very excited about that. And some live music from Foster the People. And we will continue to give you tickets to Coachella. So that's tomorrow morning.